It's time for pizza! Also, Twit, John C. Dvorak, Harry McCracken, and Dwight Silverman are here to discuss the Facebook IPO and some guy who built a motorcycle in the desert. Really, there's a story there. It's coming up next on Twit.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for Twit is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 355, recorded May 27th, 2012. Where's the Pellegrino? This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix. All you need is a webcam and a click to turn your online meeting into a high-definition video conference. Meet with clients and colleagues anywhere in the world, even from an iPad. Try it free for 30 days right now. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the offer code TWIT. And by Ford, giving customers the power of choice with a full line of electric and hybrid electric vehicles. Learn more about Ford electric vehicle technologies at Ford.com/technology. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Visit Audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter, user ID Audible_com. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code TWIT5. And don't forget, they now offer free domain registration with annual plan subscriptions. It's time for TWIT This Week in Tech, a great panel assembled. I don't know. Last week was such a hit with Adam Curry. We had the crackpot. Now we got the buzzkill. John C. Dvorak's back.
That'd be me.
I get email every day that says I check the lineup to see if John's going to be on. And then it's funny because that like is stock. And then half of them say, and if he isn't, I
right.
don't listen.
Just say, yeah,
half of them say, if he is, nothing. I don't listen. So is it? I think it's better to have somebody that stimulates that kind of polarization.
Huh.
In the audience.
Yeah.
Because that means...
Me and Sarah Palin.
They feel strongly.
Why don't you get her on the show?
Yeah. You know what? I would get her on the show. She's got great legs.
Okay.
Also, that was bad. I did not mean that.
Dvorak.org/blog.
I was doing an impression of Newsweek magazine. And now, ladies and gentlemen, from Time magazine, Mr. Harry McCracken wearing his Donald Duck watch. Hi, Harry. Good to
Thank
see you.
Thank you, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Here's Donald.
There's Donald. Is there some reason for that, the Donald Duck watch?
I went to Disneyland a few weeks ago, and everybody gets a Mickey Mouse watch.
Right.
I figured Donald needed some love.
Donald's always been my favorite, too, actually. That was his uncle.
Uncle Scrooge
was rolling in money.
Yeah. Yes.
That's my goal.
Well, there's another one, the Gladstone Gander character, the lucky one.
The world's luckiest
Wait a minute. There's a character in the Donald Duck cartoons called Gladstone Gander?
So apparently you really aren't that much of a Donald Duck fan.
I guess not.
Even McCracken knows about Gladstone Gander.
He wasn't in any... Well, actually,
comic book thing again.
He was eventually in cartoons, but he started out in comic books.
Again with the comic books.
Ludwig von Drake, on the other hand, was a TV character.
That's the one I know. Not Godfrey Gander.
Gladstone
Gander. Wait a minute. And the chat room, of course, comes through immediately with a picture of Gladstone.
Gladstone is the world's luckiest waterfowl.
By the way, I am now, I guarantee you, I'm going to get an email from YouTube saying we cannot show this video because you have a picture of Gladstone Gander in it. So do it again.
You know, that's not quite the Gladstone Gander. The better one, he had a longer beak and it was a...
That's not by Karl Barks.
Yeah, this is a different guy.
Oh, am I in trouble here? I'm surrounded. I was just saying how much I hated the Avengers movie, and I didn't realize I was surrounded by comic book nerds.
No, I'm not a comic book nerd.
Dwight Silverman, help me out. Dwight Silverman's also here.
McCracken definitely is.
Definitely McCracken is.
Well, I'm more of a Donald Duck nerd than a comics nerd.
Hey, it's good to see you. Dwight Silverman from the Houston Chronicle.
Well, good to see you. And, you know, I love the Avengers movie.
Did you?
I thought it was big fun. Yeah. I thought it was better, certainly, than the last Iron Man movie, which was hideous.
No, I skipped that one. I liked Iron Man 1, though.
Did you see it in 3D?
No.
No, I would not see a movie. I don't like 3D.
Me neither.
First of all, if you wear glasses, it's tough.
Right.
And
no, it's
it
not.
Makes everything darker.
Yes, it is.
I wear glasses, and I don't have any problem whatsoever.
I'm going to get clip-ons, which I just discovered you can buy.
Oh, really? 3D clip-ons?
Yes.
Yeah, you have to buy them. But yeah.
But they're like $12.
Right.
They're not expensive.
I did like it that Mark Ruffalo was Bruce Banner. I thought that was an interesting choice because he's kind of funny looking. But he looks like the Hulk.
Bruce Banner every time. In each of the Hulk movies, it's been a different one. I like the Ed Norton Bruce Banner.
Well, that's because you feel like at any moment Ed Norton might actually explode into flame. I mean, he's very much like on edge. It's a mistake for me to admit that I don't like the Avengers because of. We got a bunch of nerds in the audience who probably love
it. There's probably more than a few people that didn't like it either. And
Rinbrand is trying to save me. He's saying, well, actually, Leo didn't like the premise of the Avengers. It wasn't the movie he disliked. No, I hated the movie even. Yeah. Anyway. Hulk
it's
versus
basically
Loki.
The same premise as Battleship.
I do think Joss Whedon had fun with this. There's a moment when Loki and Thor are talking, and it's like a bit out of Shakespeare. And then Robert Downey Jr. shows up in his Iron Man costume and, in fact, says, what is this, Shakespeare? It was very funny. And then he starts doing this fake Shakespeare thing. It was amusing. It is the fifth highest grossing movie of all time, the number one movie of the year.
Yeah.
Over $1 billion. So clearly I'm wrong.
No.
No, no.
That's certainly closer to the
You're actually more
the
likely
comics.
To be right with those figures.
You know where the public was wrong with the Facebook IPO? We got to talk about this because it's the class action lawsuits are flying fast and furious.
Is this yours?
I'm reviewing it. Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I haven't seen one yet.
This is the Fujifilm X10. I have a X100, which
this
I love.
This is the overpriced camera, right?
This one's $600. I have the overpriced camera.
The overpriced one.
The one I bought. But look, this is kind of neat. You turn it on by doing that. That turns it on, zooming the lens. It's got a...
Fascinating.
Can we start this show over again? Dwight Silverman is here from the Houston Chronicle and the Great Technology Bites program. Have you ever... Oh, we got something for John.
Uh-oh.
John, this is the best, hottest new camera on the market today.
Yeah, I saw it earlier.
So we can't figure out how to open it, though.
Oh, I can get it open.
Thank you. That'll keep him busy for an hour. You want to know how to keep John C. Dvorak in suspense? So, good luck. Oh, my God. He opened it. I can't believe it. There's a $1,000 bill in there for you, John.
I wish.
Wow. I can't believe you did that. We had experts working on that for the last hour.
What kind of camera is it?
It's a Polaroid. You should have mentioned
this.
Oh, yeah. Polaroid Land camera.
No, it's not.
It's not?
There's a roll right there.
Well, it's a film camera?
Yes, it's a film camera.
I don't think that's a Polaroid, but the original Polaroid.
No, it's not a Polaroid.
The original Polaroids did take roll film, though.
This is not a Polaroid.
No.
He hasn't figured out how to extend the bellows
I get
yet.
It.
He probably had one of the originals. That's how he knows.
No, I have a very small camera collection, and so I dealt with cameras like this before.
This, and we now know, because it's written in pencil in here, that this belonged originally to A. something Thomas.
A. Hole.
See that?
And
I don't know.
All the patents are in here.
Yeah, part of the reason we're fumfering around is because the tech news this week is just...
Well, let's get on with it with the Facebook
dull,
thing.
Dull. You really do?
Oh, it's not dull. I was looking at that list and thought, this is going to be a good
show.
All right.
Well, I'll tell you what. Pick your favorite story, Dwight. We'll kick off with a big one.
My favorite story isn't necessarily the big one. It's the guy who spent... who lived in the AOL offices.
I agree.
That's
this is a funny story.
Story.
It's a great
the
story.
Year so far, I think. It's awesome.
So he wasn't an employee of AOL?
No, he was not an employee of AOL. He was a guy who essentially, I think, was part of some kind of internship, entrepreneurial internship program, and that he got a key card. And when the program was over, the key card kept working. So what he decided to do was live at AOL while he worked on trying to develop the startup. And he slept on a couch. He ate in the free food in the cafeteria.
It's brilliant.
He took a shower in the gym.
There's probably people at Google right now that are doing the same thing.
This is just brilliant.
I think there are people all over, you know, all over Silicon Valley doing this.
He's 19 years old. So he's just a young guy. And his name is Eric Simons. And he created a company called Class Connect. Actually, it's a great idea to help teachers teach more effectively. He says, my expenses are about $30 a month.
And he eats good.
AOL on $30 a month. This is clearly a Rails. It looks like he's using Ruby on Rails, I have to say. There's a certain look, isn't
that,
there?
Yeah, and that tells you where you end up. Yeah.
Right.
Homeless.
Powered by Rackspace.
He wound up because of the story and telling this story.
Did he admit it?
Yes,
he was caught eventually.
He was caught, and he was caught by a security guard, and he eventually.
What did the guard say? Hey, dude, have you been living here?
Yeah, what are you doing here?
So he eventually parlayed it into some venture capital. And he has started his company, and he's allied living in a real house. But he still has to go back to the AOL offices periodically for meetings because he's still involved with this group. He says, I make a beeline for my meeting, and I make a beeline out. I don't stick around.
He's not allowed to stay.
Right.
You know, let's do – in fact, this is going to be upside down day on Twit. We're going to do all of the stories in reverse. So we're going to start with all the good stuff that we usually save for the end of the show.
Oh, you mean it's not going to be like a normal Twit where it's just...
We start with
yak,
the boring?
Yak.
This one, I've got to know, is this possible? This guy, it's actually, the original story is in French. So, but this guy apparently broke down in the desert, and he was driving a Citroën, so that explains it, a Deux Chevaux, which is the little small Citroën.
Deux CV.
And he broke down, and so he took it, and he... tore it apart, and I think it took him 2 weeks later. He built a motorcycle out of the parts and left. Apparently,
says there's not good tech news?
Apparently, like, the axle was busted, so he couldn't get out in the Deux Chevaux. So he... Because that's possible. It's got to be fake, right?
It could be fake, yeah.
Where was he again?
He was traveling through the desert in northwest Africa. Right. His Deux Chevaux.
It's a dangerous place to be in the first place.
Especially in a crappy little Citroën. It's 2 horsepower is why they call it Deux Chevaux.
Originally it was.
Maybe it's a little better than that.
Yeah,
now.
It's not just 2 horsepower.
And he stopped and told not to go any further due to some military conflict in the area. Not wanting to listen to the advice, he decides to loop around through the desert to circumvent the roadblock, at which point he snaps a swing arm on his vehicle, leaving him stranded. He decided the best course of action to disassemble the vehicle and build a motorcycle out of the parts. He's unprepared, no tools, in the desert. He drilled holes by bending metal and sawing at it, then unbending it to be flat again. It took him 12 days. This has to be a fake.
I like this story. It's a good creative story.
The frame beam was broken as well as the swing arm. He apparently had tools, and he doesn't want to leave them because he doesn't want them to get stolen.
They'll get stolen.
So he builds... All right. There's no tech, I guess. Maybe this is a Mythbusters episode in the making. He had a lot of tools, apparently. Enough tools to do that. He even put a little fender on the back. I love that. Keep the mud from hitting him in the head.
And the next story is...
All right. We'll move on. I don't want to... How about surprising new details about Mark Zuckerberg's wedding day?
He had Green Day play for him.
Did they have Green Day?
Yeah. That's
wow. So it's interesting because immediately the press agent releases pictures of Mark and his new bride, Priscilla Chan. It was a surprise wedding. They invited everybody saying it was going to be, a graduation party? But in fact, she emerges wearing a wedding gown.
This is all done for tax purposes, of course.
Probably. No, it happened sure, 2 days after he made it, became a 19 billionaire.
Yeah, well, he still hasn't cashed out, so he is...
No, but he took a 1.8 or something like that
right
up front. Yeah,
won't get that for a while, so the wedding turns him into a married, so he can file differently.
So it wasn't actually
$1,000.
All of Green Day, was it, or was? Billy, here's Billy Joe Armstrong. He's singing a song that he wrote, Last Night on Earth, for the couple, who shared a dance in front of clapping guests. Apparently, they've become friends, Zuckerberg and Armstrong.
Yeah, sure.
Their next trip to Machu Picchu later this year. They've been to bomb. She made a deal. So here's the deal. So they broke up. I get the whole story. I'm glad you're having fun with the camera.
I'm getting it open.
There's a screwdriver on the camera, you know. You don't have to use
Where
your keys. Here, right here is a little mounted screwdriver. Oh, you busted it.
There it is. It's on there, then.
There it is.
Oh, that would probably be useful.
Yeah, you could actually build a motorcycle with this thing if you tried.
Ah, this is what I needed.
That's what you needed.
Yeah.
There you go.
See, there's this hole.
So apparently Mark and Priscilla, nobody's interested in this.
Keep going. We're listening. I'm riveted.
When he moved to California, she continued her studies at Harvard. She got a degree in biology and then has gone on to a med school. She wants to be a pediatrician. She'll graduate soon. But they broke up briefly while he was on the West Coast. She was on the East Coast. He dated somebody, a Cal student or whatever. But they decided to get back together. But she made a deal with him. She said, I require 100 minutes of your time a week and a date. This is in the article.
It's idiotic.
It has to be true.
Yeah. No,
I'm sure
it's true, but it's like, you know.
And I want a trip overseas once a year. So they've been to China, they've been to India, and they're going to go to Peru later this year. I'm pretty much done.
Next.
If you thought the Avengers was exciting, get ready for the Internet Defense League.
With the bat signal.
They do. They have an ICANN has cheeseburger signal.
Cheeseburger's code.
Code for what?
I don't know. We're trying to figure it out.
WordPress, Reddit, and Cheeseburger are joining the new, I think this is good, the Internet Defense League. Members can sign up to receive code. They can choose to include on their site to alert visitors about a perceived threat to Internet freedom.
Oh, brother.
Reddit was the site that created this whole blackout thing, remember? When we all went dark for Internet Freedom Day?
I didn't.
Of course you didn't.
I found out about the day after.
We went gray. We actually did all our shows that day in black and white, which I thought was kind of
fun.
Did you? Yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it was a good idea. We didn't want to stop doing the shows.
But no, you were just... Right.
So Craig Newmark of Craigslist is involved in this. Oh. Public Knowledge, Electronic Frontier Foundation. Imgur. Is that supposed to be Imgur?
Imgur, I believe.
I-M-G-U-R. Imgur.
Imgur.
The more formal launch is planned in 2 weeks when Congress returns to session. The league is meant to act like an emergency broadcast. I want to join. Can I join? Where do I sign up? An emergency broadcast system or a bat signal for the internet. Cueing activist sites to swoop in, just as Batman would. They call it the cat signal.
Yeah.
All right.
Another winner.
Okay, those were the three stories that we would have normally put at the end of the show.
Yeah, they're actually better at the beginning because they're so crappy.
California Senate has now passed a law that says that we could have autonomous vehicles on the road, SB 1298 lets the Department of the California Highway Patrol adopt rules and regulations to promote the safe operation of specific vehicles, autonomous vehicles. Soon, they're legal in Nevada. Soon, they'll be legal in California.
I'm working on a book on this.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a good book. What is the premise?
Well, the premise is it's the most revolutionary thing that's come out of Silicon Valley in history.
It's going to change the world.
Yeah.
Like the Segway.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly like the Segway. That's right.
You know, this is the amazing thing. The California state legislature can't agree on anything. They're the most incompetent body.
It's the worst place in the world.
They're worse than Belize. They agreed on this 37-0.
Because they want all of our chauffeur.
Across the board.
Douchebags.
Across the board. Here's what the Senate... Senator Alex Padilla, he's a Democrat from Pacoima. Pacoima, who authored the legislation, said thousands of Californians tragically die in auto accidents each year. The vast majority of these collisions are due to human error. That's probably true, right?
Sure.
Through the use of computer sensors and other systems, there's his problem right there, a fallacious faith in computer systems.
Yeah.
An autonomous vehicle can analyze the driving environment more quickly and accurately and can operate the vehicle more safely. Are we excited? How long before Texas has this, Dwight?
Texas should have it before California. Oh, he's dead. Dead in the water.
I knew we hadn't heard from Dwight in a while, and now
he's back.
How's that?
Yeah,
that better?
That's good, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say that I think that Texas would – we would love to have one of these in Houston, but the problem is with the autonomous cars is I think, like, everybody has to have them before they work really well because
no,
you want them avoiding
that, no,
each
I don't,
other,
we don't,
right?
No. That's
you
not
don't
true.
Think so?
No.
You know, I mean, we have so many miles of open land, and then open highway, and then they end in these big congested LA type cities here. I think it would be really interesting to have one, and I would love to have one in Houston traffic. But I just think the problem is if everybody doesn't have one, wouldn't it be less safe if unless
I don't know. I mean,
one?
The Google car with the LiDAR and everything made its way around.
It's legalized in Nevada now. You have to have a person in it. But
somebody has to be hovering their hands over the wheel.
I think it's fine with the
apparently
amateurs out
Arizona,
there.
Hawaii, Florida, and Oklahoma have all announced plans for similar legislation. And Google, along with the Automobile Club of Southern California, the California Foundation for Independent Living Centers, TechNet, and Tech America have all supported the California bill. So John, do you think this is actually going to happen?
Yeah, it's probably going to happen sooner than we think. That's the weird part.
Well, it is interesting because it seems to be like there's some momentum behind this.
Somebody, I was Alan Kay or one of these guys, were talking about how it always takes 20 years for a technology to emerge and actually take hold. Well, this technology is beyond the 20-year point.
It's mature.
They've been talking about this since I was a kid, and they were going to put these sensors on the road. And
that's what's changed. You no longer need to change
the
roads.
Right, that's what's changed.
The infrastructure doesn't have to be reinvented.
There's been a paradigm shift in how you do it, and it's the same thing like the reason that the PAD computer, the iBook, has taken off, because it was an old idea from in the 80s, another 20-year-old
idea.
You mean
the iPad?
What'd I say?
The iBook.
I said the iBook?
Yeah.
That's funny. The iPad. You're looking at me quizzically.
I do speak
what?
Dvorak. I've been studying for years.
The iPad is like it's really an old idea that took one paradigm shift, a different kind of display, and also the icons wrote. Boom.
Boom.
Yeah, well, that's what's happening here.
Boom.
Yeah, this idea has been around since at least the 30s. When Google made its initial announcement, I went back into popular science and popular mechanics, which you can do easily because they're both on Google Books. Well,
but they've been talking about flying cars since that time, too.
True,
we're not going to get those.
This technology leads to flying cars. Think about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, and also this technology, they've already been taking it to GM and Chrysler and Ford have already heard from Google about this. You know, they're pitching them on trying to get this into cars
and
sooner
I'll tell
than later.
You,
and I agree. I think it'll happen if they can get enough states to approve it.
I'll tell you right now, Ford is – because I went on that Ford trip to Madrid, and that little Focus, especially the hatchback, that little five-door hatchback, that is an unbelievable car from a technology standpoint. You can't flip that thing. It's got all kinds of things in it that prevent you from flipping it. And they actually gave you these cars to try to ruin them. And these cars had all – they got radar all around it. So I'm driving it around, and it's like telling me I'm going to bump something.
Do you remember this at CES a year ago? I drove this, the Envy from General Motors.
Yeah.
In fact, I brought this to Live with Regis and Kelly.
What is that?
And actually, Kelly got locked in by accident.
Help me.
It's kind of scary.
It's a Segway.
But it is a Segway. In effect, there's just because it's a two-wheeler, it's an urban vehicle, but it's autonomous.
Oh.
In fact, it can be programmed to have, because it only holds two people. If you have a family of four, they said, no problem. The second one will follow the first one. The first one drives. You can put the kids in the first one and let the car just go.
I'd rather be in a small car.
I drove in it. It was actually pretty cool.
Yeah. Can you imagine getting hit in that thing?
Well, the whole point of this stuff is you don't get hit because, all of them are that way, and so they don't run into each other.
Yeah.
Unless there's an accident.
It looks like something from a Woody Allen movie.
It does. I love it how it goes back and forth on its axis because that's how it hovers up.
Yeah,
who did this
funny
again?
GM.
It's a concept. It's not. But it was a working concept. I rode in it. It was pretty cool.
They were demoing it All around the country.
They took one. They took one to New York for me to CES. Drove all the way from Vegas, just like
really.
That.
They drove.
No,
like that
they didn't. They put it in a truck. Are you kidding? They're not crazy. Hey, nice job, John C. Dvorak. And he only did it. It took him 22 minutes and 30 seconds. Wow.
There's no buttons. You have to reach in.
This is a Kodak.
Oh, it's a Kodak.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's from maybe the 1920s because all of the patents are from the 20s.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Isn't that cool?
Clunker.
That's pretty neat. Oh, yes. We actually have about four of them over there. So there's one more to add to the collection.
Yes, do yourself a favor. Don't close it.
Yeah. No, never again. Have you been playing Diablo 3?
No.
Oh, I have. I can't stop. Have you been playing Diablo 3?
No.
Oh, I have. I can't stop.
We heard that.
Dwight, have you been playing Diablo 3?
No, but it's on my
list. Apparently you've stopped to do the show.
And my wife is a huge Diablo fan, and I imagine she'll get to it before I do.
Well, how long was it? Was it more than 10 years since the last one, Diablo 2? And that just shows you, because the pent-up demand, this is the record, the biggest launch. 3.5 million copies have been sold. Add another 1.2 million players who got it for signing up for an annual pass for World of Warcraft. You've got 4.7 million people on launch day, all hitting the Blizzard servers. When I got, I sat down, I couldn't get on for the first 12 hours. Finally, now it's no problem. It is amazing. Now already 6.3 million people. And those numbers don't include players in Korean internet game rooms where they buy a few copies and they're all playing, and it's apparently the number one game in Korea right now. 39% of all online gaming in Korea is coming out of is Diablo and Blizzard.
It appears as if the shutter still works.
Do you know what type of film it takes?
That's cool.
I think it's like 120 or 240 like or something.
Wait, is 120 like full frame? I remember, or is it?
No. Yeah. Well, full frame is meaningless in this
available.
Context, but it's interesting that you would ask that question.
I don't know what I'm saying. I do not know what I'm saying.
So, Leo, how does Diablo 3 compare to
it's
the
exactly
gameplay
the
of Diablo 2?
Game. There's a few more character classes. There's a few things here and there. It's pretty much the same game. Isn't it funny? But it's updated graphics and everything. You know what Diablo 3 is basically? Diablo itself, the whole franchise, it's a Skinner box. You remember
B.F.
Skinner, who would put rats in a box and train them to do things, but to continually press a lever to get food, that kind of thing. And it's exactly that, because what you're doing is you're clicking, 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 and then the monster dies, and then it dumps out some sort of loot. And it's all about collecting this loot, and it's completely a Skinner box. You become a Skinnerian mouse.
Pigeon.
Yeah, it's like a pigeon.
Yeah. This is the way the mouse works, by the way. It's an addictive mechanism. That's why the Macintosh people were so crazy about it when people were still using DOS, because you'd get addicted to this clicking. And then when Windows came along, it became even more addictive, because you'd click and nothing would happen, and so you'd click a lot more.
It's a reverse Skinner box.
Well, that's the way. The pigeons, you hit it, and they make them click.
You gotta get
the one seed.
To challenge them.
Yeah, so click, click, click.
Yeah. I have to say, it's a wonderful, wonderful game that is, it's clearly pure addiction. Has nothing to do with, there's no gameplay, there's nothing. It's all about collecting the loot, and you can't stop.
Huh.
And I played for hours.
Are you playing on the PC or the Xbox?
Mac. It's not available it's not available on the consoles. It's only PC or Mac.
Really?
Huh. One of the reasons it's a fascinating thing that the numbers of this are so high is because it is a PC game only.
Well, I'll have to put it on my Mac because
it runs beautifully on a.
I have a 24-inch iMac, one of the last of the 24-inch models. How will it do on that, you think?
Oh, it'll be fine. Absolutely fine. Right. Yeah.
Well, I'll talk to you guys later.
It's great because you can download it now if you have an account, and you can play on any machine. So you just download copies on every machine.
Right.
It's the same character, and I just pick it up wherever
I am.
So
if you have it for the PC, if you buy it for the PC, can you use it on your Mac as well?
I have not tried that. I don't know. I presume
looking
so.
Into.
Yes, I would guess so. It's your account. You log in. Yes, they're telling the chat room, Caesar, not Arbiter, Schrodinger's Law, Rock Law and Houdini 7 and Erroneous and Web 3722
Erroneous.
And Dist and Dan Wally and
Erroneous is
they all say
Erroneous.
Yes. They all say yes. And now because I've read all their names, they're all saying yes.
All right.
I just said yes.
Too late.
And Harry says yes.
I don't
even
know what I'm talking about, and I said yes.
One of the things I do like about Blizzard is that they do do Mac and PC, tend to do Mac and PC launches at the same time. They do that with World of Warcraft, and I do admire that. I appreciate that as a Mac user.
And there's no Xbox version. Seriously?
No, they don't do console games. It just shows you PC gaming is not dead.
Seriously. There's a lot of demand for it.
But Dagwood McDrake is. What's his name? Durbolt Hart. What's the name of the...
Gladstone Gander. Gladstone yeah. Gander. You got me confused. Gladstone Gander.
He's dead. So Dish Network at CES this year announced the Hopper, which is a new DVR.
Actually, yeah, it's great.
It's cool. It records all the major networks at the same time.
Yeah.
You could be like Hugh Hefner. Remember that, Hugh Hefner? Maybe you don't remember that. Hugh Hefner had in his basement, before there were DVRs, before he would have VCRs on every channel, and his staff would record everything.
Yeah, just in case.
Just in case you wanted to watch.
Yeah. Don't want to miss anything.
But if you're not Hugh Hefner, you can get this Hopper. It records all the major, just like four or five major networks. And then it has it automatically skips ads.
Yeah, no, this is a fantastic product. The Dish Network, by the way, I'm a little disappointed if they go ahead and drop AMC.
Are they? Well, this is what happens.
In networks, there's a lot of fighting.
They're
going
always
on.
Fighting. And then
but I've had the Dish for a long time, and I've very
AMC's
very happy
the
with
Mad
it.
Men channel.
Yes.
Oh, you can't talk about that.
But this is the best thing they've come up with.
So I haven't got one yet. I'm very tempted, but
what's kind of hard? Dish
the networks
is on this
are not
thing.
So happy.
No, they hate it. They're very irked with the Dish Network.
NBC said advertising generates the revenue that makes it possible for local broadcast stations and national broadcast networks to pay for the creation of new sports entertainment programming that are the hallmark of American broadcasting. They could have left that part out. Dish simply does not have the authority to tamper with the ads from broadcast
replays. They're not tampering.
On a wholesale basis
the
for its own economic
advantage. The ads are coming
across.
They're still coming over the air. Am I doing something wrong with my Dish Network thing when I hit the 30-second ahead button, boom, 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 five times?
Yes, you are, John C. Dvorak.
Where does it say that? Where does it say
your
I can't do that?
Quote.
Well, okay, what's the difference in me getting up when the commercial started and going to the bathroom or going making a sandwich and then waiting for the show to start up again? What's the difference?
Well, NBC, CBS, Fox are all suing, saying...
I don't blame them.
Fox said... it was given no choice but to file suit against one of our largest distributors, Dish Network, because of their surprising move to market a product with the clear goal of violating copyrights and destroying the fundamental underpinnings of broadcast television ecosystem. Their wrong-headed decision requires us to take swift action in order to aggressively defend the future of free over-the-air television.
Replay TV did this like about 10 years ago.
And where are they now?
Yeah, I know. It didn't work out well for anybody except the networks.
Yeah.
Well, these guys got a little more clout.
It's interesting.
The early version of TiVo did that, too.
Right.
Replay TV.
TiVo did not do it the way you had to. There was a hidden.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
You had to unlock it in TiVo.
But you still had to press the button. Replay had one that does what the Hopper does, which is to simply skip them every single time so you don't need to worry about it.
Wow.
And Replay only had that feature very briefly, and then they decided it wasn't such a hot idea after all, and then they went out of business shortly thereafter.
They were sued out of business, in fact. No,
they had other issues, too.
Well, they might have, but they were... Actually, I thought the Replay was quite good.
It was a good product, but the model for selling it and distribution was pretty sketchy. It wasn't as... TiVo had enough trouble.
I kind of understand the
network's
point of view,
though. I think Replay
was
first, to be honest about it.
Because, we're free ad-supported media. If you skipped our ads and we didn't make any money on ads, we couldn't make the content. We couldn't pay you the big bucks. We couldn't give you cameras to... disassemble. So, I mean, isn't that legitimate?
No. What you're doing and what TV has to go back to, because they used to do this in the 50s, are embedded ads. So when you went and watched What's My Line, there would actually be Remington Rand across the back, kind of like the way NASCAR operates. You wear a jacket with a bunch of logos on it, and we say, how you doing, Leo? Well, I'd like to thank Ford for...
People are going to really resent that, though, aren't they?
They don't bother. It doesn't bother them with NASCAR. You ever listen to one of these drivers? He's got like 30 things on him, 30 logos, and he's plugging every single one when they're talking to him.
You know, they were very worried that GoDaddy would abandon NASCAR because when Danica moved, abandoned IndyCar, because Danica moved to NASCAR, and everybody thought, oh, no, GoDaddy's going to abandon IndyCar. We cannot succeed without those GoDaddy logos and those GoDaddy ads.
There's just one sponsor out of many. But they were in
so
the Indianapolis 500.
Here's what I fear, and I think this is going to be the unintended consequence of this, is advertisers are going to get cagier and cagier about sneaking content.
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
You watch American Idol. It's a Coke ad throughout because...
Embedded ads. That's where it goes.
Here's the controversy going on, product placement, and also saying stuff like,
hey, Leo, you know, I had a Coke the other day. It was delicious. I mean, how are you going to cut that out?
How are you going to get Coke to pay me for that? That's my
question. Well, I was hoping for the money.
So this is a controversial video that is going around right now. This guy says, I got my girlfriend to sit in the back of our Honda CRV, and then my brother came around the back.
Head really, really, really nicely. And basically, what I want to say about this song is that...
And he's convinced the girlfriend to put on headphones.
Really tends to...
And he's written a song for her.
You and Isaac's relationship.
Really watch this video.
So,
1.5 million people have watched this video in the last 3 days. It's a lip dub. And actually, it's pretty damn cute. But there's some concern. Because right up front, it mentions that it's a Honda she's driving in.
Yeah, illegally, I might add, in most states.
Because she's sitting in the back with
can't sit like that.
With a gate open. And
who are these two dingbats? Well,
they're. It gets worse, John.
Oh, God.
It gets worse. Now, here's the question. I think this is legitimate. In fact, I've read articles, and I have good reason to believe that this is not a Honda ad. But the world, many people believe that it's, in fact... A crypto Honda ad.
No, I think it is a Honda
ad. And soon,
this is what's
going to happen.
Who's licensing this music? Who's spending the money for that?
Ah, that's interesting.
I mean, this would have been pulled immediately just from the music.
You're right. I mean, we get our stuff pulled all the time.
No, come on. This is produced.
There's choreography. This is her family. This is her mom and dad.
This is ridiculously produced.
They've got a marching band.
And by the way, if you didn't notice at the beginning when they got it, showed the Honda, all the other cars in the driveway were Hondas.
No, they weren't. They were Kias.
I thought there was a Honda.
There was a Kia. That's what tells me it's not a Honda.
Well, no, it's still...
Now this is the rest of her... They could be very sophisticated, right? The rest of her family on Skype, on laptops, all singing along.
It's a Honda ad.
And then finally, of course, as you get to the end of it, he gets down on her knees. This is her fiancé. The entire cast of this lip dub behind him.
You have already given me a lifetime of happiness.
Which means...
Let me spend the rest of my life trying to give you the same. Will you marry me?
Oh. Yes, I will. Will now, you use the money we get from making this ad?
Now, here's the question. Andy Iannacco said, if this is, in fact, a car ad, a very secret, you know, subtle car ad, I will never buy another Honda again for the rest of my life.
Does he buy Hondas now?
I don't know.
It's not a Honda ad.
I don't think it is. I think it's real.
I'm totally convinced it is.
Do you know why it's not a Honda ad?
Why?
Because you never see the damn car.
You don't have to.
He said, well.
It doesn't show you the car.
No, but look right at the front.
Honda wouldn't let you get away with
that. At the front, it says, on Wednesday, I stationed my brother's sitter in the back of a Honda CRV with some headphones.
Yeah, what difference? Why does he have to mention the car?
That's because that is color. That lets you know that it's a small little car, and she's sitting in the back of a lift.
Hook, line, and sinker, the two of you.
No.
Well, if it is a Honda ad, they got 1.5 million views on YouTube.
And we're talking about it right now as a Honda.
And tons of attention. It was posted on Friday. Here we are 3 days later, 1.5 million views. It'll probably go to 30 million because of all the attention it's getting. And everybody mentions Honda. Even this article from the Detroit Free Press,
Detroit,
says Honda. Is it a Honda ad?
No.
Yes.
John, I'll give you $10 says it's not a Honda ad.
$10. How can we prove it one way or the other? They're not going to admit to it.
Does it make you want to buy a used Honda?
I'd like to know how they got the music license. There's the question. Answer that,
he said he wrote the song for his. So
yeah, I heard that song is a commercial song. Mm. And why is he lip syncing it then?
And
the
a lot
whole
of people,
thing is
a lot
sketchy.
Of people say it's too
and
well
it's
produced,
way overproduced.
Did they shut off the streets? Or?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's a small town.
It is a small.
But then everybody in the town was doing it.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see a lot more ads like that.
$10
I think
we're going to see
a lot of secret advertising because things like this Hopper. So maybe they'll win their lawsuit, the networks will win, or maybe they'll lose. I have to say, I understand their point of view. This is how they generate the
actually,
revenue to
the
make these
first,
shows.
When the DVRs first came out, I wrote this negative, which I tend to do, a negative column in Forbes magazine saying that these are terrible devices. Because they're going to ruin the advertising industry, just basically what you said. And I went on and on about it. I wasn't totally sincere about the column, but I thought the argument was valid, so I expressed it. And I got some amazing negative emails.
Well, I understand. And I skip commercials. I understand why people want to skip commercials.
Yeah.
I'm not saying.
Because generally speaking, they stink.
And you can't blame people for giving them the technology to do what they want to do,
Here's the key I always like to bring up. Remember when all those Apple ads were coming out with the Apple PC guy and you were skipping commercials and one of the new ones came up? You'd stop and watch it.
Right.
I would.
Make the ads better.
Exactly. Right. Make the ads better.
Right. There's also this technology that both TiVo and UVerse have that when you hit the fast forward button, it goes to a certain point and it's moving pretty fast. When you hit it, it knows to go back to the start of where the show starts again and the commercial ends. It kind of backs up a couple of seconds. And that actually also got the networks were upset about that because it made it too easy to exactly skip the commercials.
Wes has it. He says, it's a Sony ad brought to you by Bruno Mars and Sony and Honda. We're going to take a break. We have to do our ads. Please don't skip it. But I'll understand if you do. This is my fear is that it's an issue because we are ad-supported media.
You embed.
But we build it in.
You also don't have a signal, a code, beep, that takes place, that machines can hear, and that so they can roll tape. You know what I'm talking about. On the video, when they're rolling, they have these codes.
Yeah. No.
You don't do that. It's hard to pull the ads out of this show.
It's hard. We make it as hard as it possibly can be.
Well, that's what you're supposed to
do. Why, for instance, I might start this ad, and halfway through it, John will say something so compelling that you will be so sad if
you've
missed it.
It's always a possibility.
Or he could do an ad for Kodak. But first, this word from GoToMeeting. I think that the key to to making ads work in this kind of environment where you could skip an ad is to make it something that people want to know about. And if you don't want to know about it, skip the ad because you're not going to be a customer anyway. But GoToMeeting is for IT professionals. You know that it does the remote support, the best in the business. They've added something that is, this is GoToMeeting. I was going to do a GoToAssist ad. So it starts by doing the right ad. That's key. It's from Citrix. GoToMeeting. I've talked about this before. Did John steal my... No, here it is. I was going to show you because GoToMeeting... I've been meaning to do this. We should have a GoToMeeting meeting on one of these shows. I'll do it next week. I have to get somebody to start a meeting. But the cool thing is you can attend a GoToMeeting meeting on your iPad, on your iPhone. On the iPad, it actually uses the camera and the audio and video. So now you've got online meetings. You've got $49 a month for as many meetings as you want, as long as you want. You've got video that's as good as any teleconferencing system. This completely changes the game. I mean, there's people spent $20,000, $30,000 on this Cisco conferencing system. This is actually better. It actually works better. We had a GoToMeeting in the office the other day. We had five people with iPads. I was on my desktop. I mean, it's amazing. So here's the deal. And I like this, too. We're not trying to trick you. We all of our advertisers do this. Try it free. A 30-day free trial. That's it. Not asking for any money. Just asking you to visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. And when you see the promo code there, you type TWIT. That's it. That's all I ask. They still want my name and address. But anyway, TWIT. And you will get it free for 30 days. Windows, Mac, and now iPad, iPhone. And I think they have it for some Android tablets as well. GoToMeeting. It is awesome. See, that's it. That's all I have to say. I don't have to belabor the point. I don't have to make a song. I don't have to propose marriage to John C. Dvorak. Nothing like that.
Well, if you proposed marriage, you could be the...
I could marry you.
Yes.
Where did you find this? This is my certificate in the Universal Life Church. As of 2002, I was ordained, and I have all the rights and privileges to perform all duties of the ministry. I am an ordained minister.
I got one of those in the 70s from Kirby J. Hensley personally.
And it's legal in
the
state
of California.
We went
out to his house in Modesto. The guy was a character.
This is signed by Kirby Hensley.
And he, by the way, was illiterate.
Yeah, you can tell. He doesn't have great handwriting.
A lot of people didn't realize that.
But then Lida Hensley, who is, I guess, his daughter.
Probably.
Is the president now. And so the whole idea, this is like a fake church, but it's not fake.
Mm-mm.
Because all you have to do is file some papers with the state and you're church.
Yeah. No, that's legal.
Yeah.
I've actually married a couple of people.
I did on TV. I married somebody on the screensavers once.
You got me beat. But I also have the Doctor of Divinity, which is
good. Oh, I'd love a DD.
He asked, when we were there, he actually said, would you like a PhD in anything?
And then, meanwhile, we've got Padre S.J., an actual Catholic priest, who's going to host our new Enterprise show. Isn't
that
great?
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Isn't that great? I think it's so great.
Yeah.
He'll lay hands on
it. He can bless your Enterprise.
Bless the Enterprise. Speaking of the Enterprise, HP is going to lay off 8% of its workforce, 27,000 employees. Not right away. It's going to take about a year. They expect to save $3 to $3.5 billion. This is a company that's just, again, just hasn't been able to figure it out and remains in trouble.
They claim they're going to reinvest that in innovation and cool stuff, though.
And meanwhile,
yeah,
all the WebOS team has gone to Google. Right? So the WebOS, the team responsible for the WebOS development
for the tools, the framework.
The framework went to Google.
Most of them.
Well, okay. So there's a guy left. But, you know, what's going to happen now?
I think at WebOS, I mean, there's a teeny tiny chance something will happen that will be good for it. But
why do you think that Google hired this? Now, this is the Enyo team. Enyo is their developer framework. Why would is it so good that Google wanted to use this on Android?
Yeah, they probably just wanted the brains.
They're good folks, and it could be Chrome, it could be Android, it could be something else.
Interesting. Interesting. Any hope for HP, John?
Yeah. I don't know how. But hope, there's always hope.
There's always hope.
If you look at their latest earnings, which when they announced this, their software and services, the stuff that kind of Leo Apotheker was really pushing early on, is actually doing fairly well. It's the traditional part of HP.
He was right. They should have gotten out of the PC business.
No, actually, Michael Dell, who's pushing his company in the same direction, believes that that was a huge mistake, because if you're going to be selling services and servers and all this stuff, the large corporations, the enterprises, they want a complete solution.
Right.
They don't have to deal with two companies.
And HP's always done that.
They
sell you the HP. In fact, they had minis. They had micros.
Yeah, they have everything.
They have the service. They have the support. They have the consultants.
Yeah.
They'd set you up. I remember I used to do...
done deal.
Yeah, many years ago, I used to do industrials for them. And it would be talk about how they would do it all. They'd have PA Risk. They had the whole thing.
Yeah.
And, well, you know...
They take care of you.
They take care of you.
They were talking about getting rid of the personal systems group, which is the
PCs,
the desktop PCs. They would still maintain their server, their servers, and IBM.
Yeah,
IBM does real well with that.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The counter argument to this is IBM doesn't make any hardware anymore.
Right.
But HP also has this huge printer business, and if you're sending printers out to Best Buy and Office Depot and everybody, and PCs, that seems to have a lot greater efficiencies of scale than just printers.
Printers have to be hugely profitable for HP.
Yeah, and they're not going to give up printer ink as a profit center.
Right. Although the current printer group, which is different from the PSG, they're eventually going to talk about merging them, but they're separate, actually did not do well in this quarter either. Right. And what's interesting is when they were doing all this talking about splitting off HP, the bulk of the employees in the personal systems group are here in Houston. They're out at the old Compaq campus. And they were like, the folks that I talked to out there were really excited about the possibility that they would spin this off, because it would give them a chance to kind of get away from the HP bureaucracy and do something more innovative. They were excited about it and a little bit bummed, I think, in one angle, that they were not able to kind of take off with it as they wanted to. They saw it as putting the Compaq band back together for what that's worth.
No, please. But, you know, the chat room's saying HP is an ink company. Certainly the margins are huge in ink. But do people print as much as they used to? And is the future for printing bright?
I'll tell you right now, people have got to get a clue and realize that those clone inks that are being made in China are probably being made by the exact same factories. I mean, I have moved completely over, and I've got some professional printers, to these inks. G&G is a good example. Their inks work great. They look the same. They last as long. I think the ink business is on shaky ground.
That's interesting. But now, don't they build chips in. I know Epson did this.
The chips are all cloned out. I mean,
oh, really?
So and people, you said a lot of people send their stuff back. The chips are removed and recycled. I mean, the chip thing is
so they can't
overrated.
Really prevent you from doing this.
But I think the bigger issue is over time, people will print less. I use my iPad 80% of the time. I have never once needed to print from my iPad. So the fact I don't have a printer compatible with my iPad has not been a big deal.
So this is the G&G ink.
And by the way, can I say one more thing about this ink? I'm actually suspicious that Epson or one of these companies doesn't own the clone ink company. They're dominating the market. They have the right little chip on there. And when you stick it into a professional printer, it says, you've got a genuine Epson ink.
Wow.
And it's like, and it works.
Huh.
So the ink business is not, I don't think the ink, it's really risky to that business.
So maybe that's another issue for, look at this. For $8, I can get a 10 pack of G&G
ink. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
For the Pixma.
Yeah.
It's I had a Canon Pixma. This thing eats ink for breakfast. I mean, like crazy.
That's what I have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great print. It prints well. But
it's a nice printer. I liked it. It was a Wi-Fi printer. I actually knew.
Get a
use
set.
Epson,
get
it.
Find one of your printers and get a set of this G&G ink.
Let me just
from Amazon and start using it. And then you'll go, oh, what an idiot I was to be spending $30 for ink. I know these printer companies hate me for doing this, and I think they've planted stories in the media saying, oh, you use one of these things and your printer never works again.
Yeah, they
do. It clogs.
Yeah.
And then you go to a professional shop where the guy has to print a lot of stuff and he's using a big
giant. Using it.
They got buckets of some generic
ink. But you don't do ink refills, right? I mean,
that's a mess.
They're kind of scary.
So I'm looking. So a single cartridge for the Epson Workforce, and these are big cartridges, is $47 for one cartridge, or a 12-pack for $33. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
that's kind of a big difference. Actually, this is not the same product.
I've got an Epson 4000. It's a big
bag. That's a photo printer, right? Yeah.
Well, it's a big, and it prints on canvas. And so I couldn't afford, the guy sold it to me for a song because he couldn't afford keeping the thing in ink. So I literally got the thing for like $300.
It's like the guy across the street. There was a store before Hallie's, which is our breakfast place across the street. It was an ice cream store. And he couldn't stay in business because it was too expensive to keep the ice cream frozen. And I thought, you might have looked at that before you started an ice cream store, that there is going to be a cost kind of built in.
So I said, well, screw it. I'm going to and first, and he hadn't used the thing for a year, so it was clogged. And so I went through every thing I could do to declog that.
But that's like a $10,000 printer, right? I mean, it's a very expensive printer.
They're about $4,000.
$4,000, okay.
But anyway, got the thing completely declogged. I had to use every trick. I had all kinds of crazy things. I had to soak it. And finally got the thing
declogged. Are you at this point going, what was I thinking?
No, seriously, I was at that almost. And then when it got unclogged and I started using this cheap ink, instead of paying, you have to pay $120 for a big cartridge. I'm getting it for $10.
Wow.
So I'm cutting my cost by one-tenth and I can print.
What the hell are you printing that big? You're printing billboards?
Posters and things.
John lives on a hillside. I bet she's printing things like,
go away. So anyway, I'm completely convinced that these inks are the same. And I'm sure Epson wouldn't like hearing this at all.
You printed a 12-foot sign that says, don't go away angry, just go away. Get off my lawn.
Yeah,
I think that's
exactly
a good idea.
That's what I do. Yeah. So anyway, I'm sure that Epson.
G&G is the best, or is it just that's a random?
G&G seems to be the one that keeps showing up. And that's the one that seems to work and says it's Epson and does all the stuff. And I'm sure Epson's going to give me a call if they hear the show.
Yeah, they're a sponsor, actually. But I don't, you know what?
Actually, by the way, your sponsor is the projectors, though, right?
No, Epson. The Epson Workforce printers, we have them all over the place.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Oh, they know. They're very relaxed.
Yeah, not about this ink. but over time, I've been convinced now that they own this ink company.
That would be devious.
That's what I would do.
Why would that be devious? In fact, if I'm Epson or Canon or any HP, what I do is I try to sell my branded ink, but I notice that customers are going to these
third-party Chinese
companies. How much could it cost? Buy the company. At least I'll get something.
Yeah, and they're making money. It's not like they're going broke, these little ink companies. I mean, you're gouging the customer with the other stuff. And Epson, to their credit, they're high-end inks that they use in these big printers. They do have some formulations that
you
can't get clones of this chrome crap.
Here's one. Web9921 in our chat room says, He, due to ITC rulings, that's the International Trade Commission, that's the world body that rules this stuff, print country stopped shipping out Epson-compatible cartridges. Currently, G&G brand Epson-compatible cartridges are not available for sale. They were sued. Mm. Print country replaced
G&G. What's the date on that?
What's the date, Web99-21? That's interesting.
Because I just got a batch.
Well, this is print country. I mean, maybe that's a Europe. It sounds like that might not be a U.S. company. I don't know.
You can find out by going to...
Amazon's selling it?
Amazon's selling them.
Print country is your premier online store. Your happy tech store, ink and more. Let's see.
There's a company called Inks for Less, which I think Amazon's fronting for.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of other.
Interesting.
There's Cartridge World, which has stores.
Huh.
There's
It's interesting that the companies like Epson, HP, Canon are probably going to the ITC.
Sure they're complaining.
Hey, this is,
but this is
counterfeit. That's what they're calling them. Counterfeit. Right? They're counterfeit
cartridges.
But they're
cartridges. Not labeled.
It's ink.
They're not, are
it's
they?
It's ink. No. You know,
yeah, but if they have the chip in there, now they've got them on counterfeiting,
there's
right?
There's been a bunch of cases about that chip, and I don't know. I'm not sure. This has been going on forever, by the way, this debate, for at least 20 years.
Well, the ITC's added again with the Xbox as well. An ITC judge says the Xbox should be banned from the U.S. due to Motorola patent violations.
Yeah, this is killing tech.
They've ruled that Microsoft's Xbox video game console should face a U.S. import and sales ban over 4 patents. Now I don't know. Remember, Motorola is owned by Google. This is actually Google now, but suing Microsoft by proxy.
Yeah, well, because Microsoft
is suing Google.
Yeah, so this is the whole game nowadays.
Wow.
Well, this action began before the acquisition, so it has a, Google can carry it over. But, you know, the judge, there's some other thing that has to happen before the Xbox.
Oh, there's a lot more.
From the shelves, right?
So now it goes to the ITC's 6-member board of commissioners. They have a deadline of August 23rd to make any changes to the ruling or throw it out. If they approve it, then it goes to the Obama administration for a 60-day review period. At which point Obama either signs off. Now, see, that could cost them the election right there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Ban the Xbox and Ron Paul isn't going to be in charge.
Well, I don't think anyone would complain.
Oh, yeah, no one would complain about Ron Paul being in charge. No one at all.
Another anti-Ron Paul bigot.
Are you a Ron Paul supporter?
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about it off the air. I don't want to get in a political discussion here, but I do think that this could cost an election, right?
This thing's got a nice trigger on it.
I like it. You know, I have it set for silent so you can sneak up at people and take pictures and they don't know. See, I don't know if you took a picture or not.
I did.
Oops. How are the photos?
They're very good. It's not an APS-C. The sensor's a little smaller. It's an EXR size.
We're talking about the Fujifilm X10.
The X10, which is their low-cost, only $600 version of their $1,200 X100.
And then the lens is not removable.
Which is probably sold zero.
It's not interchangeable, nor is the X100, but it is a zoom lens. The X100 is just a fixed prime lens.
Yeah.
That's not an SLR,
no,
right?
No. This isn't even a micro four thirds. This is just, you know, it's point and shoot, basically. Right. Expensive.
So these cameras are endangered, really.
Why?
I think you're
SLRs
right.
SLRs are dead.
I think mirrorless interchangeable lenses are actually
the winner. That's the winner.
Yeah. Although, I got to say, I was just looking at the Nikon D3200, which is their new entry-level camera. $600 or $700 and a very nice...
Is that what you got?
DSLR.
This is the 1DS. Well, 1DS and old.
Oh, That's pretty fancy.
Yeah, well, that's good. Is that the
1D's frame? Old? It's not old. That's the top of the line Canon. That's the professional Canon, right? This guy's a pro photographer. This is no amateur here. He's got an L lens on here. He's shooting. This is top of the line. Are you professional? Obviously,
he could be a hobbyist. Yeah.
No, that's nice. You look good behind the glass there. Look at that. John is a camera buff. You got a bunch of crappy photos now on your camera, I got to tell you that.
Probably.
We're going to take a break so John can play with the camera. And then we will, I promise, we're going to talk about the Facebook IPO. Failed or not? That's the question. What's that lens? That's nice. That's pretty wide. 16 to 35. 1635. I have that lens. F2.8.
Do you?
Yeah, that's a nice lens. Yeah. I like that lens.
What did it cost, Leo?
Thousands of dollars, John. That's the money I'm making on these commercials right here. So please, don't skip this Ford commercial. Please.
John, whatever you do.
Please don't skip this. Actually, I'm very excited about the 20. You were talking about the 2012 Focus. You didn't see the electric, though. You were in Madrid and you saw the gas-powered Focus.
It's got radar.
I know. It's amazing what they're doing.
And it has the self-parking, too.
The Bliss radar, which tells you in the mirror whether you've got oncoming traffic. So, you know, you should still look. But it will warn you. It does pre-tensioning of the seatbelts if you drift out of the lane. And then yeah, it has the self-parking. But a little tip on the somebody's laughing because they know. Because I got in a Ford Flex.
Oh, yeah, because you rammed the thing in this. No, you got to use the brake. It's actually, not 100%
when you're done, the car is still running and in idle, and you don't just, like, sit there like an idiot. So the car was perfectly parked, and then I'm sitting, and I ran into it. It's all right. There were a bunch of engineers in the back. I think they knew it was going to happen.
You know, I didn't realize.
They were sitting in a Fiesta in the back, and they were laughing.
You were in a Fiesta or a Focus?
I was in a Flex, which is
the big giant thing.
I love the Flex.
Okay, so the reason I got...
By the way, not a scratch on the Fiesta. Not a scratch.
The reason I kind of got jacked up about the Focus recently is because I had to take my Lexus in for a repair, and they gave me that little Lexus, which looks like a Focus, that little bitty one, whatever it's called. And I drove it around. It was okay. It was a nice car. It was well made. But
it's
I thought
not
the
as
Focus,
good as the Focus.
And it's $10,000 more.
I know.
There's your plug, Ford.
I know. I'm telling you. And now they've got the electric Focus. It's at your available now at your Ford EV-certified Ford dealer. This is, in every respect, it's the best in class. It's got the most fuel-efficient five-passenger vehicle in America. Most fuel-efficient with 110 miles per gallon E. That's the best city rating in its class. That's the new thing, the new EPA ratings. If it's an electric or a hybrid, they have E after it. I guess it's equivalent. Because there's no gas.
No, it's just how much money you spent.
Right, 110 MPGe. It's rated the most fuel-efficient car, the best city rating in its class, the best-in-class driving range, 76 miles, and 240-volt charge time from empty to full, 3 to 4 hours. That's the best. In fact, it's half what the Nissan Leaf is. Now, you do have to get that home charging station. You don't have to. You could use 120. It just takes longer.
Takes all night.
Yeah, well, if it's 3 to 4 hours for 240, would it be just twice that?
It takes all night.
Yeah, it's about 8 hours. You do it overnight.
Yeah, I had a Leaf and I had a Volt.
So you've driven all of these?
Yeah, except this one.
You know what I love on electric vehicles is the torque, the pickup in the electric engine is fantastic.
They're peppy.
They're peppy.
Yeah.
You don't feel like you're driving a mushy car. This is a nice vehicle.
Well, here's the thing that gets me. See, I should have gotten up, but I'm involved in this commercial. You can park at the Oakland Airport now, and there's a charging station.
Not only is there a charging station, it's the best parking spot.
Yes, right in front.
It's the number, and then you know it's always empty. So go there with your new 2024.
It won't be empty. I know.
Eventually, yeah. This is just a fantastic vehicle, but you've got to go to a certified EV dealer. There's going to be a limited number, so don't delay. And by the way, you may be eligible for a federal tax credit for this too. Because this is zero emissions. They've got the greatest, you know, they're using the latest battery technology. I think it's $7,500, it says here. Up to $7,500.
Maybe.
That's not bad. And the cell phone, they have the right apps. The My Ford mobile app lets you monitor the charging, schedule the charging on off-peak hours. You'll know exactly. You can even start your car remotely. It's really cool.
The image stabilization on this camera stinks.
I don't know nothing. I don't even know if it has image stabilization.
Apparently not.
Yeah. That's kind of modern. This is an old-fashioned camera.
No, actually...
Eco-conscious interior. Now, this is cool. The fabric on the seats is made from 100% recycled materials. This is actually kind of cool.
Old bags.
And the cushions are made of a foam derived from plant seed oils. It's really neat what they're doing. I'm kind of really proud to be associated with Ford. They're really doing something very cool. Next year, and this was one I think I might want, is a 2013 plug-in hybrid. And that one, you use electric unless you're going farther than the gas engine kicks in. That's going to be called the Energy. It's the Ford Fusion Energy for 2013. Whatever you do, before you buy a new car, go to your Ford dealer and drive one. Check this out. You'll be very, very happy you did. Or visit the website. They've got a lot of information at Ford.com/technology. Did you know that the tire actually will seal itself if it gets a flat? And there's an air compressor in the car. They save One of the ways they save battery, there's no spare, but the tire can repair itself. You could drive 120 miles at a maximum speed of 50 miles an hour.
What if the thing's blown to smithereens by a shotgun shell?
That's only in Texas. Maybe then you could strap a tire to your roof.
So Leo, if you drive this car and the all electric one, you said that the gas engine does kick in after if you go.
No. That's the hybrid.
Right.
The all electric is all electric. That was one of the things people said about the Volt. It's like there's a gas engine in this, right? It was a little weird. This is all electric.
So what is the range on the
76 miles?
That's pretty good for around the city, right? That's about
for the city. You know, if you lived in the country, you'd probably get
the Sacramento. Forget it.
Right,
right.
The made in America. It made at the Wayne Ford Assembly plant in Wayne, Michigan. Batteries made in Troy, Michigan. They're from Compact Power. The battery pack is in the back under the rear passenger seat. But they've got a good cargo management system to give you more space. It's actually really cool. Take a look. Ford.com/technology. And if you want to know more about the federal tax break, you can go to the fueleconomy.gov, and they've got all that information and how much you can save. It's up to $7,500. It's pretty cool. And your state may offer tax break as well. So the Facebook IPO, now we're seeing the class action lawsuits. Everybody's saying NASDAQ broke, but they didn't want to admit it. There's this whole insider trading thing, too, you know, because apparently the company told some investors that their second quarter results would fall short of analyst estimates. Hmm. But they only told the underwriter analysts. They didn't tell some of the institutional investors. They didn't tell smaller investors at all. And this is not illegal. Selective disclosure of negative information.
Well, as long as they told enough people that it could be disseminated, I think it's okay, technically.
Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe they said, well, you could
tell.
It's
like newsletter.
But nobody's going to tell anybody because that's an advantage you now have, right? You could short the stock.
Yeah, but when you tell a lot of people, I mean, it's like people who read Market Watch and there's a stock tip in there.
Everybody now knows, so it's built in.
They don't, unless they read Market Watch, they don't know that minute.
Right. Price now $31.91 off of its peak at $45 on the opening day. There was no pop. And now Facebook has, weirdly enough, released a camera app that looks better than Instagram. On the iPhone, I'm very confused. They spent $1 billion on Instagram, and this camera app is fantastic. It's better than Instagram.
It's nicely done. I mean,
maybe they'll drop the Instagram deal. It's not finalized. They haven't signed off.
It might not be too late, huh? You think that's it?
Maybe. No, maybe I it was to the shake these guys down.
The Instagram deal was defensive, and I think it was a whim on Zuckerberg's part. This was already in the works.
Must have been.
It was in the works. What I wish they would do is not mess with these side apps and make the iPhone app for Facebook actually usable because it's so slow and so awful. It's a terrible app.
I might not use – well, I think what they're doing with this app is they're saying, you know what? Maybe people don't use the Facebook app. Maybe they just use Instagram. For instance, these are pictures Shira Lazar posted from Instagram. By the way, I love that. It's a Metro interface. It slides left and right. If you have multiple pictures – this is a beautiful app. This is a better app than Instagram. It has filters. It has everything.
I don't think they're really buying Instagram to get an app, though. I think they're buying it to get that social network.
Of Facebook users.
Well, Instagram is an app that a huge social network has been built around. And the social network that is Instagram might be worth $1 billion. The app is not.
Right.
And there is a basic, nice photo. There is a.
Fortunately, there's a magic wand that I can use to add a filter that should make it beautiful. Where's the?
There is this basic difference between Facebook and Instagram. Facebook is for communicating with people you know, and one of the cool things about Instagram is you can see photos from people you don't know,
right.
And in fact, people you might not share a language with.
I can also crop it. Look at this. And by the way, one of the things people hate about Instagram is it's always a square crop. I can choose any crop. I want. It's not getting any better, is it, Harry? That is still a terrible picture of you.
I'm squinting, which is better than blinking.
And now I can post it
in sepia.
Yeah. Say something about this photo. I can add a person. I could say, you know, that's Harry. Let me put you in here.
And more time of the public is wasted.
I don't know. You're not actually my Facebook friend. Are you on Facebook?
Of course I'm on Facebook.
That's something horrible.
Send it to me.
I will add you. No, I don't. It's sent to everybody on Facebook. You know how Facebook works, John?
I don't use it.
Yeah, I'm not. I can even do location.
I see too many people like addicted to it. They're always on Facebook.
Oh, it is addictive. In fact, one of the things they know is that people who are Facebook users tend to not only check every day, but they spend many, many hours a day on the site.
Yeah, and that between that and Diablo 3, I'm surprised you do any of these podcasts at all.
I don't.
Let alone the tech guy.
I'm actually playing Diablo 3 right now.
All right.
We had a lot of opinions today.
And Harry's adding me on Facebook right now.
Is this the right Leo? Is that your photo?
No, I don't know who that is.
It's some other Leo Laporte.
There's plenty. By the way, I noticed you're using that new Logitech Ultra Thin Keyboard case, and I like it. Do you like it?
I do. I've been playing with this and also the solar one.
Oh, but does it get enough juice to actually do anything?
Well, in theory, you can use the solar one in the dark for 2 years without ever having to recharge the keyboard. Wow. This one is kind of nicer and cooler and thinner. And
it uses a smart cup.
But it also, when I heard about it, I expected to be able to fold the keyboard back like this.
No,
and when you do that, it falls off.
Yeah. Why would you want to do that?
So that you can use the tablet like a tablet.
I see.
If you want to go into tablet mode, you sort of have to.
It's not a convertible laptop.
You need big pockets.
Big pockets is.
I think the solar one may be the one that I settle on.
So get ready. Really? So who makes the solar one?
That's also a Logitech, but the design is kind of totally different.
And this one's $99 available now. Is the solar one out?
That one's $130, and as far as I can tell, they're both available, somewhat tough to find.
That's USB charging, so it's not, and it does get a long time.
They claim that you only have to do it every 6 months.
Right,
so.
That's not too bad. So some Facebook rumors. One, that Facebook is about to buy Opera, the browser, so that it can create a Facebook browser. That's an interesting idea. I mean, if you want people to live in Facebook, have your own browser.
Yeah, right? No, I'm stunned that they haven't done this already.
Yeah. Yahoo just
launched. Why would they need to?
They want to take over the place. That's why. They want to control the browser.
One reason.
Control the browser.
I'll tell you why, Dwight.
Control the world.
One reason.
Okay.
That browser knows everywhere you go and can tell Facebook.
But so does Facebook. Facebook already does too.
Yeah, but it misses some sites that don't have like buttons on it.
This is the same thing as a Facebook building a phone.
Right.
You know, people
that's the other rumor.
Want Facebook.
That's
right,
going to
happen. That's the other one.
I don't see them buying Opera, though, because Opera is so invested in its own web technologies. And, I mean, the world is basically a WebKit world, especially in mobile. And if you buy Opera, you're sort of betting against WebKit, which does not sound like a Facebook kind of thing to do.
Actually, that's a good point.
Right.
WebKit is very critical at the moment. But Opera's, you know, you wouldn't be able to hack it.
Yeah, maybe if you provided a more secure browser. People spent more time in there. There's Facebook buttons and Facebook controls everywhere. They get to watch everything you do. That's the real issue with Facebook, is they got to be careful because people are getting more and more paranoid about Facebook. And the risk is you're pushing people away by being too aggressive in trying to own everything you do online, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. It is the cookie law. Web994 has a point. Do not track, which is now available in every browser except Chrome, and is supported by the force of law. It means that you could set a setting in Safari or in Internet Explorer that says, don't track me.
There's a Chrome extension, too.
There's a Chrome extension, but Google has interestingly not put it into Chrome.
Right.
And what that means is that the chief target of this, I think, is the Facebook like button. Every time you go to a page with a Facebook like button, Facebook can see what you're doing and what sites you're visiting. This do not track would prohibit that. That would be a good reason to buy Opera. Now, do you think they'll buy Opera?
Well, that would assume they can get people to adopt a browser that has like 1.35% market share right now.
Right. Yeah, it's tiny. But maybe
it's already a really tough browser market out there, and I don't see Facebook doing that. Facebook can take over any browser that it sets itself up in. And in terms of do not track, you have to turn that on. You have to say, okay, I want to do that. And it's a very small minority of people who actually care about that.
Most people won't do it because they won't even know about it.
Right. Now, there's a question of Facebook needing something better for mobile. And what they may want is the technology in Opera for its mobile browser, which is very fast and very speedy.
Yeah, you know why it's fast?
Yes.
It caches all your stuff. It spies on you, basically.
Right. So mobile might be an interesting play for a browser for Facebook, but I don't see them wanting really a desktop browser. Their big problem is mobile because they're not doing great in it.
Well, Facebook, you mean? They are doing great. Yeah. But the problem is more than half of their users are using mobile now.
Right.
And they can't make any money. Yes.
Right.
They don't want to do great mobile until they can figure out a way to monetize. So that's probably one of the reasons for this smartphone rumor again. Nick Bilton, writing into the Sunday Times, today's New York Times, brings up the rumor again. He's not the first, it's not the second, it's the third phone that Facebook has reportedly been working on. In fact, they've hired more than, according to Nick, half a dozen former Apple software and hardware engineers who worked on the iPhone and one who worked on the iPad. This is where that stock is so important, so you can acquire some of these people. Although I would think I'd rather have Apple stock at this point than Facebook. Maybe Apple stock has already hit the peak. And Facebook has nowhere to go but up.
Duh.
The strike price is nice and low. this would be Facebook's third effort building a smartphone, according to one person who was briefed on the plans and one who was recruited. Nick doing some good reporting here. Apparently, TechCrunch in 2010 said Facebook's going to build a phone. That project, according to Nick, crumbled after the company realized the difficulties involved. All Things D reported last year that Facebook and HTC had entered a partnership codenamed Buffy. Still in the works. But now, this goes beyond those attempts. They've got a team of seasoned hardware engineers. Sounds like the Expendables or the A-Team. I don't know if Mr. T is on this team, who have built these devices before. Maybe it's the Avengers.
The movie you hate.
You know, let's not bring that up again. I've already taken enough heat from my friends here.
Puny smartphone.
We would call it Thor. One engineer formerly worked at Apple and worked on the iPhone said he met with Zuck, Facebook's CEO, who then peppered him with questions about the inner workings of smartphones. Zuck is the new Steve Jobs.
I like the Zuck thing.
Yeah, Zuck.
Steve
never had a great nickname like that.
Steve Areno? Wasn't that it?
Zuck. That's a great nickname. You know, but Zuck is doing the same thing Steve does. He does the one-on-one walks around Silicon Valley, you know, through the woods when he's recruiting you.
Fantastic.
Zuck has a conference room, which is right out in the open at Facebook's campus.
Yeah.
And in theory, he does that for transparency.
To get away, but then he doesn't use it.
Well, one presumes he has certain meetings that aren't there because then we would all know about them.
Right. It did not sound like intellectual curiosity. The engineer said Zuck asked about intricate details, including the types of chips he used. Another former hardware engineer from Apple was recruited by a Facebook executive and was told about the company's hardware explorations. Facebook, when asked Friday, neither confirmed nor denied.
Well, that's useful.
But said, just like last year, when we told All Things D, we're working across the entire mobile industry with operators, hardware manufacturers, OS providers.
Why do reporters use these quotes?
I don't know. It's a junk quote.
It's a junk quote because they won't answer the question. You got a question for me, one that you want a yes and no answer. They know what's going on.
I think he said enough when they said they wouldn't confirm or deny. He does not need to give us the junk quote.
Or just they have no comment.
But they didn't have a comment.
Oh, okay. We cannot.
So we can't say they don't have a comment, but they can. He can't say they neither confirm.
Well, then how? What if they say I've got no comment? Is that a comment?
That's a comment.
So how can you have no comment?
You want that in there because your editor makes you put it in there.
Yeah, no, I know that. The editors are, did you call the company? Because maybe they'll spill their guts, which they've never done in history and no company ever has. But the editors always think they're always shaking the dice, hoping for the best.
But this confirms what you were saying, I think, Harry. Mark is worried if he doesn't create a mobile phone, according to a Facebook employee, in the near future, that Facebook will simply become an app on other mobile platforms. They don't want to just be an app. They want to own it all.
I think Dwight said that, maybe.
Or maybe it was Dwight. Maybe it was me. This confirms what I said.
Well, I mean, one way or another.
I'm right again.
Once again.
One way or another, Facebook does sort of have to figure out what it is on mobile. I don't think they've quite cracked the code there.
You know, I hear that the web OS team might be available. We could bring it back.
Okay.
Maybe
the conversation just dropped.
I'm just reading
dead.
The article. I'm sorry.
Maybe you can read it out loud if you're going to be reading.
I'm looking for something interesting.
Well, you know, if you read it in your German voice.
Okay. So here is something else.
See, it's always interesting if you have a German accent.
Hugo Feinz, former Apple hardware manufacturer, for the first four iPhones, he has a new company called Electric Imp.
Really?
Yeah.
Electric Imp.
Let's see. Huh. Let's click the link. He says, going into the phone, there it is, real world meet the internet. Okay, now just wait a minute. Don't just look at this, John. You're so good at grokking what something is. What the hell is this product?
Apparently, it's a devil and a fork, which means it's some sort of food company.
it's a hot dog company.
That's it. It's a Red Hots.
It's actually a little hardware device.
Yeah?
That you put on things and it knows what's going on. It's like...
Oh, these things have come and gone forever.
Sensors. Anyway, he's working for Electric Imp.
Electric Imp.
And he says, I got out of the phone business because going into the phone business is incredibly complex. Did it make that better?
Yes, a lot.
That helped? Because it's a non-quote. Yes, it's incredibly complex. Does that mean they're not going to do it? No.
Why is he in the story?
Doesn't mean anything. Why is he in the story?
Because he's the Electric Imp. Because Nick had his number. He called him up. He said, Heinz,
I need 200 more words.
What the hell? What's going on here? I don't know. This is a non-story. Basically, the story is maybe they're working on another phone. Or maybe it's the same phone. Or maybe it's not a phone at all. You know, the only reason I focus on this is because the next story is even more boring.
It's your ad.
It's Google. I'm going to take an ad because I can't bring myself to talk about the Google and Oracle. Well, it's over now.
Yeah, thank God.
But it's just the worst.
Yeah, it's pretty
Court
bad.
Cases are boring. You know what's interesting? Audible.com.
I agree with you.
I would almost rather do an Audible ad than do this next story. Audible.com/twit2. That's going to get you two, not one, but two books from Audible.com, our bookstore of audiobooks. I figured out how to have my audiobook on my iPhone play through my stereo system using the Apple TV and AirPlay. Actually, it was using, Apple TV and AirPlay. So now I've got my room filled with my audiobooks. I love it. How about this? Macbeth, the novel. It's a full-length novel written for audio. How interesting. Not by Shakespeare, but some other guys. In fact, it's been such a hit that they're turning it into a play. We have some audio here. You can listen to it.
Do you muscular have... figure, that of a sullen thief out for booty.
That was a mistake. I must have clicked the wrong. How about this book about Canada? That sounds good.
I'm getting that Macbeth book. I
don't know. I don't know. Maybe that was a different book. Finding Ultra, Rejecting Middle Age, Becoming One of the World's Fittest Men, and Discovering Myself. So you've got fiction, you've got nonfiction, you've got history, you've got self-help. It's really fantastic. The choices here, New York Times bestsellers, award winners, business books, classics. Here's the problem. There are so many choices. The first book of the final book of the Hunger Games. There are so many choices that, you know, at this point, it's overwhelming. So here's the deal. I'm going to get you two books free so that the pressure's off. Go to audible.com/twit2. You're signing up for the Platinum account. That's a subscription to two books a month. But your first month's free. Your first two books are free. You could get, if you want a Game of Thrones, that's two credits. Ooh, Snow Crash. Oh, this has the best first chapter in the history of science fiction.
Great book.
Oh, isn't it great? 17 hours.
Great book.
I think this is, I don't know. Oh, they say they had this. This is not.
No. Noun. Definition 2. A. Anything resembling snow. B.
Okay.
The white speck.
Maybe not the most dramatic part, but Neal Stephenson's classic. I don't know if this was his first, but certainly the first novel that made him famous. Anyway, visit audible.com. Browse around. So many good books. I'm started listening to A History of World War II that Paul Thurrott recommended. It's fantastic. Just some great stuff on here.
So, Leo, do they have 50 Shades of Grey?
They do. They have all three.
That would be weird.
That's what all the ladies are listening to now. This is basically it's a romance. It's kind of a soft core. You want to hear a little 50 Shades of Grey? The narrator in this. Now, remember, the protagonist of 50 Shades of Grey is a young woman, very young woman, who falls in love with an older guy who teaches her the ways of love. Okay? So they have the narrator on this is very young sounding.
Chapter 2. My heart is pounding. The elevator arrives.
I don't think
the
I can play any more of this. Wait a minute. Stop. There's the elevator scene is a little steamy.
Isn't that 9.5 weeks redone?
It is basically, I don't know what the plot. It's not about plot, but yes, they have 50 Shades of Grey, book one. They have 50 Shades Darker, book two. 50 Shades Free, book three. And it's kinky as hell. But you know,
you read it?
Yeah. The woman who.
Really?
Well. Huh. It's part of my research.
What did you listen to it?
You know, I started listening to it, and then I thought, you know, I'm going to skip to the good parts. And it's a little.
Is there a button?
No, there isn't.
Good parts, click.
Click. Yeah. Hey, there's an Audible feature. Give me the good parts. It's actually.
Well, actually, you could crowdsource that. You could say, let people indicate what the good parts are, and then as you're listening to it, it would automatically go. Just say, take me to the most popular parts of the book. Can you do that?
You could do that on the Kindle.
The Kindle app does that.
Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah.
I actually love the fact that you can have the notes on books that others have written. I think that's really cool. And the Kindle will show you what the most popular portions are. That's just a little tip there. Audible.com/twit to Google Plus for Business by Chris Brogan. Chris Brogan's book's on here. Hmm. Wonder if Chris reads this. How Google's social network changes everything. Yes, he does. That would be a good one. Chris is great.
Can he read?
Let's see. Play a little sample. This is the nice thing about the Audible page. You can play samples of any book.
You should be a bit skeptical about starting with yet another social network.
Yes, you
should. And
it's
not like I know every person picking up this book, but some of you just started figuring out Facebook not too long ago.
It's good. It's Chris. It's in his voice, which is great.
Anyway. I can't imagine reading one of these things.
You know, I did a short story, and it took forever because they kept saying, you're speeding up, you're slowing down. That voice does not match the previous voice. And so, but there's a producer sitting across the glass from you saying, you know, you got to do that right. So it takes a long time.
The producers are all sadists.
They are. They want to do it out again, slow it down. But they're right. No, they're right. And then you get a consistent read. And that's one of the things I like about the books that Audible produces. Frankly, they have the best producers. They have their own. They have 9 studios in their headquarters, and they do a lot of these themselves, and they do a really, really, really good job. 50 Shades of Grey is the number one book on Audible. 50 Shades Darker is the number two book on Audible. 50 Shades Freed is the number three book. It pretty much dominates Audible. Isn't that interesting? That's a phenomenon. I don't understand it myself. I mean, it's a romance novel like any other romance novel.
It's well promoted.
It must have been. Must have been. Snow Crash would be better. And book two of the King Killer Chronicles is out now from Patrick Rothfuss. That's the one Trey Ratcliffe suggested. All right, let's move on. Oh, I don't want to do this.
50 Shades of Dog Poop. So, check this out.
This is good. These are good mints from Chicago. Have a Frango.
This is with the box. It's very
Bob and
retro.
It says Marshall Fields.
Marshall Fields. You recognize it. You must be from Chicago.
My mom is from Des Moines, and Frango mints from Marshall Fields were a big treat.
Big treat. Try it. I'm telling you. Is it gone?
No, there's a bunch of them in here.
Yeah, no, they're really good. Oh, not a bunch. There was a whole box yesterday.
Well, let's try one of these
things. You're going to flip your
They're leg. Very small, and they're old-fashioned.
Is Marshall Fields
looking.
Gone?
It's Macy's now.
Really? Marshall Fields is gone?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Oh. Very sad.
50 Shades of Frango. Isn't that good? Isn't that the best mint you ever had, chocolate mint you ever had?
It's good.
Now I'm jealous.
All right. They're telling me if I do the Google Oracle story with a strong British accent, it will be interesting. The jury has come back. And you remember in the first part, there are two parts of this. Oracle is suing Google over its use of Java in Android, right? And they never gave any credit to Java. They wrote their own Java virtual machine, Dalvik, assuming that this would get them off the hook. But Oracle said, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We copyright the APIs. We copyright the calls. And the
crazy.
And that's crazy talk. And fortunately, the jury came back with a funny. They said, no, there was no copyright violation.
But
it's weird. It was very. So Oracle may go back and retry. The verdict was so confused. They may retry the copyright case. But they did lose on the patent infringement case. No patent infringement found. The 10-person jury.
This is the big money.
Started with 12. Two of them left. They were bored.
I think they died of boredom. Yeah.
It's the longest. The judge said this is the longest civil case I have ever presided over. Or at least it felt like it. Google did not infringe two Java-related patents that Oracle had used to sue the search giant. That means Oracle is unlikely to get anything from the trial other than maybe a tiny amount of damages for one function. A range check function. I love the judge. We talked about this. I don't know if we talked about this last week. The judge, William Alsup, said, hey, I've written range check functions. That's easy. You can write them in your sleep. I love a judge that says that.
That's rare.
It's rare. It's unheard of.
Yeah.
I could write you a range check right now. It's simple. He's right, by the way. So the idea that this somehow is patented is bizarre and absurd. So I guess Google won. There won't be a damages part of the trial at all. Google said, we're grateful for the jury's verdict. We are so grateful. Oracle said, Oracle presented overwhelming evidence at trial that Google knew it would fragment and damage Java. We plan to continue and defend and uphold Java's core right.
What's
once
the real
anywhere.
Beef here? It sounds like a grudge match.
You know they said, actually, I think it was James Gosling, the guy who wrote Java. Said,
right.
We were pissed as hell at Sun, but we weren't going to sue Google. We just said, yeah, that's, you know.
It's just tough, the way it is, yeah.
Tough cookies. But he said, I remember when the Oracle guys were doing their due diligence about buying Sun. One of the things they were going,
Smithers, we can sue Google.
They were really excited about it. This was the thing that they got. They were really excited. They bought Sun. Slowtech says it in our chat room. I think he's right. They bought Sun in great degree because they wanted to sue Google.
Why did they want to sue Google? Because they have a grudge.
They've got money. The judge learned.
If they get a piece of every Android phone, that would be substantial.
It could be
cash.
Some money. It could pay for Sun.
Yep.
So the judge still has not yet ruled on this issue of APIs being copyrighted in the first place, whether that's even possible.
But might be like $200,000 max.
It won't be
like
a lot of money. And let's hope he does not rule that APIs are copyrightable, because that would be a horrible precedent to set. I have some faith this guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, he knows how to write a range check in Java, damn it.
I can't do it.
Oh, it's easy, John.
I don't.
A monkey could do it.
Well, I don't know how to. I don't never looked into it. Maybe a monkey could. Then why would I want to waste my time?
StatCounter. Do we trust them? StatCounter says Chrome. We don't. What is StatCounter?
StatCounter's not that bad.
They're okay, but almost everybody reported in the story, which is about Chrome becoming the most popular browser in the world.
Yeah, it's bogus.
Got the story wrong.
It's bogus.
What happened was that StatCounter, among people who go to sites that have StatCounter on them,
That little thing you put on there that like says 8,000
Chrome
is
the most
people.
Popular.
Yeah, that's bogus.
But whether or not that reflects the web at large, nobody knows. And there are five or six other major companies that track this stuff. And some of them don't even say that Chrome is the number two browser yet. Some say that Firefox is ahead. So
I find it hard to believe.
I think the only conclusion you can draw is that nobody really knows.
But I'm having nothing but trouble with Firefox. Crashes all the time.
It's not better. Wasn't it supposed to get better?
It's gotten worse for me.
Do you use the newest one?
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, its memory management is a lot better.
It blows up.
Every new version of Firefox for like the last 3 or 4 years, in theory, the memory problems have been solved.
Yeah. In theory.
But they're never solved.
So let me see. Browsers.
I think they lost some key coders or something. That's the only thing I can think of.
One thing about the StatCounter numbers, even if you don't think that StatCounter numbers are correct, they match what has been shown in terms of trends from other sources, and that is that Firefox is either in decline or flat, IE is in dramatic decline, and Chrome has solid growth. And even if the StatCounter numbers aren't there now, that's probably what we're going to be seeing in the near future. I think
the trend is really clear.
Globally, right. In the U.S., IE is still dominant largely because of the way corporations use the use Microsoft software.
Well, I got to say, Twitter is no example because, of course, people who listen to this show are more sophisticated. But on our Twit website, Chrome is number one by a large margin, 36% to number two is Safari, 26%.
Well, you got a lot of Mac listeners.
It's iOS. Right. Safari.
And iOS for sure.
And then Firefox, third, Internet Explorer, only 10%. Android, 4%.
On the web savvy web, Chrome is the most popular browser.
Easily.
Yeah. But that's a relatively small percentage of the world.
Right.
So on cron.com, which is, you know, the Houston Chronicle's website and a very much a general interest site, the numbers kind of track about what you'd expect, with a little bit more than 50% being Internet Explorer.
Wow.
And but then when you look just at my blog, it's Chrome. So, you know.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, just on my blog, it's Chrome.
So like Chrome.
Chrome is where everyone's headed. And I think it's only because Firefox is having issues. I think they lost somebody.
I think Firefox lost the battle is what happened. Chrome was faster, easier to use. It has Flash built in. It's more secure. I think they just lost. That's what happened.
And in the old days, before there was a Chrome, Google worked really hard to promote Firefox. It sometimes was on the homepage.
Right. Yeah.
And they're still business partners, but Google is no longer trying to get people to switch to Firefox.
Well, now they don't have to pay them the royalties either. So it's a win for Google.
Here was a shocker. This published...
Before you go into that, what is that phone you've got there?
It's an iPhone.
Is that your phone?
Yeah.
Really?
Why?
I thought you always wore the Note.
I have the Note and the iPhone. And you know what?
You carry two phones?
Not today. I have just the iPhone.
Uh-huh.
You know what happened? I went to Norway, and I used the iPhone in Norway because I could, buy the extra data. And I knew how it was.
Well, why don't you just swap the SIM out, like most people do, and put the local SIM in?
Too much trouble. I just thought, I got the iPhone. That's my international phone. And then I got back, and I had to keep using it. You know what really happened is that Google Voice stopped. I used to use one phone number. Google Voice would ring all my phones. And for some reason, it works for everybody except my immediate family. None of them can reach me. It goes directly to voicemail. And so I had to give them a number to call me, and that's this number because I was in Norway, and now I'm stuck with it. That's the truth. You want to know the truth? That's the truth. It ends up being it's a phone thing.
Huh.
It has nothing to do with apps. Has nothing to do with form factor. I love the Galaxy Note, but I am going to replace the Galaxy Note as soon as my Galaxy S3 comes.
You like that better?
I think I will. We'll see. Has anybody played with the S3 yet?
Not yet.
Comes out end of the month internationally, and it looks like June 20th on AT&T and T-Mobile.
I was just wondering, because you made such a big fuss.
Love the Note.
About the Note.
Somebody changed it to Russian, and I can't use it anymore.
Leo, what do you think of the HTC One phone?
Oh, it's the best phone out there
now. The X1.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have the Sprint, let's see if I can, don't have it here with me, but the
Evo Sprint. 4G Touch.
Yeah,
that's a Galaxy S2. Yeah, that's a Galaxy S2. I like that a lot. But I think the One is the best.
It's all smudged up. It looks terrible.
Well, they all do eventually.
No, not my... go on, never mind.
The One is the best phone right now, but the people I've talked to who have touched a Galaxy S3 are very... it's quad-core, which is stupid in a phone, but what the hell, right? It's got a nice screen for... it's four, almost 5 inches, right? It's a big screen.
With the S3?
Yeah.
It's at 4.8.
So close to 5.
I used to not like the overlays like Sense and TouchWiz.
No, but that's a nice one.
Sync, TouchWiz. Sense 4 is really nice.
I agree. I really like Sense 4 on that phone.
This is an LTE phone. Sprint hasn't turned on its LTE network.
Right.
Houston's supposed to be one of the first ones, first cities that gets it. So I keep... checking it. Oh, is it on yet?
Right.
But it's. But I really like these phones. And if I was to switch to an Android phone, I would look at one of these. I like these.
Yeah.
What I wish is that the One S was available with LTE. That's the one on T-Mobile.
That is a nice phone. And the camera is really good on that one.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, the camera very good on the S3 too, 8 megapixels. We'll see. Apple's not dead yet. They got a new phone coming out. We probably figure in, September?
Before Christmas, for sure.
The iPhone 5, I think it's going to be something to watch, something to look for. We shall see. Google says...
Hold, before you go on.
Yes.
why did you get a white one?
Because I'm a girl. What do you? I don't know. Because I like it. It looks good. Don't you like it?
It's
kind of a tuxedo. It's like a black and white.
It shows how much, like, it really emphasizes the white space. It shows you how small the screen is.
You do realize. And did you? Yeah, he's got white too. Look at that. We got two.
I alternate. The next one I get will be black.
The iPad. What did I get for the iPad? Actually, I don't remember now. White. So the choices on the Galaxy S3.
You're going to wear white shoes and get a yacht?
Yeah. I am, John, as a matter of fact. So the Galaxy S3 comes in either pebble blue or metallic white. I got the white for that, too. I think my whole wardrobe is going white.
Excellent.
Thank you. There's actually a bunch of yachts parked out in the turning basin right now.
I didn't see them.
Yeah, there's a ton of them out there.
Huh.
Yeah. Google, can I do this story now?
What? What story?
Let me take a break. Come back and do more.
There you go.
What do you say? You want to take a walk?
No, I'm good.
Are you having bladder issues, prostate problems? Is there something?
No.
You want to tell us about it?
No, yeah, I'm going to tell you. Okay, I'll tell you about it. Where is the Pellegrino?
Can
I'm
we
back
have
there scrounging around is what
water,
I'm doing.
Some fizzy I'm water going for
through,
Mr. Dvorak,
going
please.
Through all the drawers. You've got five refrigerators back there, and they're filled with nothing but Diet Coke.
Where is the Pellegrino? That's what I want to know.
There's no Pellegrino. That's what I'm doing. I'm looking for something to drink.
God, I wish Pellegrino
were
an
advertiser. How about some wine? You used to have the Cottage used to be stocked to the gills with quality wine.
You know, that's a good point. I don't know what happened.
You got a bunch of drunks working for you. That's what
They've
happened.
They've been drinking it. That's exactly right. They've been drinking it. And I know exactly who, too.
You know, there's a thing called a lock and key.
I might have to get one. We do have a cage in the basement, don't we? But we've been keeping Burke down there, so I don't know if I...
Well, that's where that noise is coming from.
Help me. Help me. Let me tell you about Squarespace. You know what Burke could do down? He could actually create a Squarespace site. Let me out of here. In fact, let's do it right now. Let me do it right now. Help, I'm Burke McQuinn, and Burke at twit.tv. And we're going to call this Help, I'm in the basement.squarespace.com. And we'll make the password be Let Me Out. All right. So we're going to create a new website. Now, this is the beauty. That's how easy it is to create a new website on. And Help, I'm in the basement. And look, it's already kind of, you know, boom. These are the buttons up here. You can write, revise, publish, build, organize, and architect. This is where you configure pages and widgets, and you can add buttons and so forth. And I got to tell you, let's start with the design and style because they have so many great styles built into here. This is the help. They really walk you through it. I mean, they make it as easy as possible. You've got hundreds of beautiful styles, all professionally designed. This is a Usonian, which is a very nice, clean one, but we can get more templates. Once you start with a template, then you will pick some styles based on the template. I mean, you couldn't be easier. And the thing is, that's great about this is each site is unique. Now, another thing that's fantastic is they have these great Google fonts. So I can modify this. Help, I'm in the basement. I can choose from a variety, 300 different fonts in the Google font library. Now, that's what's cool because the Google font, let's create a style and save that out, all right, because you're going to have a unique style here. Look at these fonts. I mean, just incredible. There we go. And I can scroll through, I mean, Jockey One. Let's use the Jockey One font or Goblin or Gloria. These are all compatible with every browser because Google's got this really cool system where you actually download the font and it's really cool. 300 plus fonts. That's gonna make a big difference. That's not a great look. can't even tell you what I gave you the password. It's help. I'm in the basement.squarespace.com. The password is Let Me Out. I will let you, the audience, go to work on that while I talk some more about the fabulous Squarespace.com. You know what's great? The price. Now, that was the try it free. You don't need to use our offer code or anything. But if you decide to buy, if you use the offer code TWIT5, you're going to get 10% off your first purchase. Make it an annual purchase. $8 a month when you buy annually for the basic. Go for the unlimited. Unlimited pages. Unlimited bandwidth. I don't know any other web hosting company that does this. Unlimited storage. Free custom domain. $16 a month, and take another $1.60 off of that because you're going to get 10% off when you use TWIT5 for the first year. This is so fantastic. You've got the best hosting. You've got the best software for content management. Always secure, always safe. You cannot bring a Squarespace site down. And by the way, we could even tie it to a custom domain, because they're going to throw in for the month of May free domain registration plus setup with the annual package. Let me out of here, says Burke. I'm in the basement. Let me just see. I'm in the basement. Help, I'm in the basement. Squarespace.com. Now, somebody's changed the name to The Verge. I don't know if I like that.
The Verge.
It's the new Verge. Who is The Verge? This is always fun. I always enjoy this. In fact, let's just browse the site here and see. I don't even know. Yeah. There's Burke. There's Burke right there. Make good. I'm in the basement. I've given the keys away to this. Anybody who wants to use it, go ahead. It's help, I'm in the basement. Squarespace.com. The password is let me out. By the end of the show, we'll have something fun going on there. I just love Squarespace. That's how easy it is to create a site. Very fast, very easy. Very, very professional, unless you do that. Here's an album of pictures taken from Project Glass. Are you going to get these glasses? That's it. One. No, both are good. Thank goodness. These are all people wearing these. I think this
they
was
get
the,
them from?
The Google Plus conference.
Oh.
They were handing them. Now, I guess these are not working. I don't know.
There was a Google Plus conference?
Yeah. Photo conference. Google Plus photography conference. Look at Trey Ratcliffe looking dashing in those. I don't know if those were functioning or not.
It seems unlikely.
Does seem unlikely. Let me see here. Here's a video sample from the Glatt Project.
Pass those mints back.
You like those, the Frangos?
Well, I'll probably never have them again.
Sorry, Leo.
Little ad. So this is 15 seconds long. It's shot in 720p. I don't know what I'm looking at. Is this an ad? This is an ad. Forget it. This is an ad. I don't even want to see it. It's like a beer ad.
Make them pay you.
They're going to get mad. Oh, here it is. Video from a Google Glasses of a guy on a trampoline. I don't know what that bell is. I think it's my chat room. Keeps binging at me. That's a guy. That's it right there. See, if you had a camera in your glasses, you could shoot this kind of video. And now back
probably
to the beer.
Probably not.
Looks like the beer ads at the beginning and the end. Lord. All right, I'm closing that. Okay. Microsoft has asked Google to remove search results for Microsoft stuff, but they're going to leave them on Bing. Now, this is an interesting way to find Google.
Oh, this is dumb.
Google.
The nerve of these people. You can never navigate the Microsoft site.
Google says we get more than, and this is a story I kept trying to do, more than 1.2 million takedown requests for search results every month. And you know who the number one complainant is?
Microsoft. Yeah.
They claim a copyright violation on 500,000 search results, infringing search results. You can find out because you can go through Google's transparency tool. Some of these links are links to pirated Xbox content. Google said, okay, we'll take them down. Microsoft Bing, they're still there. So if you want to search for pirated Xbox content, where do you go?
Bing.
The number one organization demanding takedowns from Google is one of Microsoft's neighbors in Redmond, Washington, a firm called MarketFly, which is also employed by Microsoft. So presuming, I guess, that MarketFly is asking it to remove it on behalf of Microsoft, since they're all Xbox issues. It could be, according to The Verge, given the sheer size and complexity of sifting through and reporting hundreds of thousands of URLs each month, Microsoft can't do it themselves.
That's funny. It's actually quite funny.
It is kind
story.
Of ironic. Yeah. Twitter says we'll support Do Not Track in a stunning admission that they don't really need to use Do Not Track, so we'll support it. They have nothing to track.
Yeah, they don't track anything.
Why track?
So By the way, we at channeldvorak.com and also the Dvorak blog and the noagendashow.com.
Yes.
We are not tracking anybody. We've decided against it.
Thank you.
It's breaking news.
That should be a headline.
Should.
John C. Dvorak says, we will honor Do Not Track requests.
Yes.
I should do the same.
You should. You
do we track anybody? John, do we? No, we don't track. Twit for
he does.
What?
Some guy in the back does. He's with the FBI. He's tracking
us
now.
I would like you, sir, to pledge along with me and John C. Dvorak that you too will honor Do Not Track. Will you pledge along with us, sir? Wait a minute, that's Burke.
He works for you.
Talk about a setup. Did you know that Apple has a vibrating pen?
Yeah, you sure it's a pen?
Vibrating pen patent?
It's a patent. We don't know if they have the pen, but they have patented it. A vibrating pen that makes noise, according to Mike Elgin.
Makes noise.
That's exactly the noise. It's a haptic pen.
Yeah.
It's a tiny speaker which is designed to be used on touch screens to make you feel like you're actually writing.
Make the nice smooth screen feel like
canvas
or something. Burlap.
I don't pay that much attention to patents like this because I figure it could just be it's like one of those just in case we want to make one patents. Doesn't mean they're actually going to make it.
I think it'd be cool if you had a pen that had a speaker in it like that, and then as you wrote like J, oh, it would say J, O.
The LiveScribe does that, I think.
LiveScribe, will it actually announce as you're writing?
Huh. It'll do the words, I think.
Well, the words are different.
Microsoft, NBC wants to buy Microsoft's share of MSNBC.com and just have it to itself.
What does Microsoft have to do? I thought that deal was done long ago.
They killed the TV. You know, NBC bought MSNBC, the TV network for Microsoft, but Microsoft still owns a significant stake in MSNBC.com.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know why.
I don't either.
Okay, I don't know what this headline means. I'm just gonna read it and maybe you can parse it for me. iPhone thief's Disney Cruise Adventure goes on public display in owner's Facebook album. See, Katie McCaffrey, who owned an iPhone, has a public Facebook photo album. But apparently, a Disney cruise ship employee named Nelson stole her phone.
And started taking pictures.
Started taking pictures, which are automatically uploading where? To Katie McCaffrey's Facebook
account. This is the problem with this world.
So Katie has created basically the Stolen iPhone Adventures Gallery. This is the guy.
Should that's the guy or is that his boyfriend?
Maybe it's his boyfriend. I don't know. I don't know who this is. It's not Katie.
Some pregnant woman.
Nelson's girlfriend.
Well, or his mom.
Katie, which is nice, she's captioning these. Apparently, she works at the spa. Nelson likes to take photos of buildings in Mexico with stolen phones, she says. He also likes to take photos of Cabo San Lucas.
So this idiot doesn't know.
And his super cool friends. He has no idea that he is posting these pictures.
You sure this isn't bogus?
Oh, John, you're such a cynic.
Well, I'm just
saying.
It's
a Honda commercial.
Oh, yeah, it could be.
So
it just seems by this, the guy is an idiot.
Well, how would he know? He's on a boat.
Can he go check his settings and see that he's linked to somebody?
He's not paying any attention. He's just taking pictures. They're on the phone. They appear on the phone. So he thinks he's got them. There he is. He's cool. Very chill, she writes. I love it that she is just captioning his pictures as he takes them. Here's the crew dining room that Nelson likes to eat in. Here's a bird Nelson needed a photo of. By the way, Harry, thank you for the friend request. I'm going to confirm that. I'm going to confirm that right now.
That is so sweet.
I spelled your name wrong the first time.
Yeah, no, this is me. This is the real me. Now we're buddies.
Wow.
You and me.
Is that how it works?
If you ever steal my iPhone, expect trouble, buddy.
That's amazing you can do that. Technology is just stunning.
Leo LaPorte accepted my friend request.
Apparently, her phone was stolen last month, and his photos are just making it now to her photo stream. I presume at this point she's reported him.
But how does she know who he is?
She knows exactly. She knows his name.
But how?
I think I probably took a lot of self pictures. If you know what I'm saying, there's probably some stuff in there that you have to pull.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, you know these guys.
She should circle them.
Yes, circle.
Did you watch the SpaceX launch? Very, very cool. The SpaceX Dragon.
Did you grab at 3 a.m. when it took off?
No, I didn't watch it.
Oh, yeah.
I watched a rerun. The SpaceX Dragon capsule has been captured by the ISS. It's the first time a commercial vehicle has ever landed at the International Space Station.
What is Boeing? That's not a commercial company?
No.
McDonnell Douglas? Those guys? They make jets and rockets.
Yeah, but those were on behalf of the U.S. government.
Oh, I thought NASA was paying these guys.
No, I don't think so.
They're doing it for free?
Well, they're trying to win this Elon Musk. He's spending his Tesla money.
I'm telling you, it's Stavros Blofeld. You watch.
It's Stavros.
You can see this
Blofeld.
Coming.
That is pretty cool. Here's if video of the.
They have a big NASA contract, or as Good Sound says, a big NASA contract.
NASA paid them for the shipment. I get it. So they're bringing.
Yeah, isn't that what Boeing did?
Stuff up.
Then what did McDonnell Douglas?
Russian unmanned vehicles.
Lockheed Martin, I've heard of them.
It's a $1.6 billion contract. That's cool. That's actually cool. So that means like this is now becoming like, you know, commerce.
Yeah, it's just rocketry on the cheap.
The IBM has banned Siri from the IBM building.
Good idea.
If you work for IBM.
I'm sure the NSA wouldn't have a bunch of those in their offices either.
You can bring your iPhone, but they block Siri traffic. Why?
Because
Siri ships everything you say to a big data center in North Carolina owned by Apple.
And yet they let people use Google.
Yeah, right. IBM CIO Jeanette Horan told MIT Technology Review, "We banned Siri because the company worries that the spoken queries might be stored elsewhere."
Will be.
Well, of course they will. But what do you think Apple's like combing them for revelations about IBM?
If you're a stock investor, it'd be handy.
Siri.
Boy, the chat room's all over my case about my comment about the rocket.
What about it?
The Boeing didn't launch the rocket. It was the NASA personnel.
I think you're right. I agree. I agree.
That was easy.
Have you seen maybe Harry saw this, the Leap 3D motion control?
Well, that is great.
That sounds cool.
That is if that works.
$70 basically connect.
I wonder if it works. But if it works, this is the biggest deal going on.
Dwight, have you seen this thing?
Dwight, I've seen the video, but I want one.
Yeah.
One bad.
This is going to be the hottest thing ever if it works.
If it works.
As advertised, which I doubt, by the way.
The company's a startup, has significant funding. It's scheduled to launch early next year at $70, and this video has been removed by the user.
Well, so much for that.
They're taking pre-orders, but I'm not sure I'd want to order it if it's not available till January. That's a long.
I wouldn't. Wait,
and let somebody like Harry or Dwight review it.
Yeah,
well, he looks cool.
Dwight already said he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I'll buy it.
Wait
for me to buy it.
Well, for $70, you know, $70 is how much
a
Magic Mouse or the Magic Trackpad costs for you.
Right.
So
right.
It'd be worth it when it came out.
Won't be $70.
So we've done all the juicy good stuff that we were going to do now. We did at the beginning of the show. We front-loaded the show so we could stop.
We can?
Yeah. Go have us some fizzy water.
There is none.
We gave you Frango mints, for crying out loud.
Well, that was a...
They were good, but it would have been even better with a little Pellegrino.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Or some quality wine, which you don't have either. So where did these come from? Somebody dropped them off.
Bob brought them.
Bob
and his wife. I'm trying to remember his wife's name. Brought them. Jackie.
Bob and Jackie dropped them off.
Bob and Jackie brought them. They're from Chicago.
Yeah.
They brought them.
Yeah, well, that was a good idea.
Yeah, it was nice of them. They also brought me a Marshall Fields mug.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm very grateful to them.
It's fascinating.
And you see all these people here? They all brought us stuff, too. But now that they've seen the show, they were going to keep it.
I don't blame them. We did the best we could.
We tried. It was just a bad week. That's all I can say. John C. Dvorak can be found. Oh, the week ahead.
Don't forget good old
Tom Merritt might be able to redeem us. Let's see. Tom Merritt, what's coming up this week?
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's some things we'll be keeping an eye on for tech news today and the week ahead. Tuesday, May 29th, it's D10, the All Things D conference, kicking off for a couple days. Wednesday, May 30th, Nokia is discontinuing OVShare, in case you remembered what it was. Thursday, May 31st, Gigabyte is unveiling the X11, which they say is the lightest laptop ever. And Friday, June 1st, Best Buy Connect will no longer accept new activations. That was their phone service. It's being retired. And Tech News Today celebrates its 2-year anniversary.
Wow.
So thank you for that. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
Probably means Tom's contract is up. That's why he'd be bringing
He's
that
He's looking
up.
For some dough.
So one more time. Let's check. Help, I'm in the basement.squarespace.com.
Yeah, one of our jokers. No agenda.
There's a great picture of Burke behind the bars. Somebody's done an ad for The Verge. More Adam Curry pictures and pizza bagels.
Autographs. Who has an autograph picture of Adam
Somebody
Curry?
Somebody has an autograph picture of Adam Curry.
It's kind of...
And No Adam Agenda, it's called. Rick Astley approved this website on August 2nd, 1991. And there's another picture of Burke. This is good. This is what Squarespace lets you do. Instant websites. I wonder what the deal is with the bagel bites.
I don't know. It's a video.
Pizza! Okay, that's kind of annoying.
Boy, no kidding. A little annoying, is to say the least.
Wait a minute. Is that more?
No, it's a Honda ad.
Did you just update it? We've got people in the audience updating it. And now, but I don't want to be a pirate. Help, I'm in the basement with dancing, all laughing, all dancing Adam Curry videos. Is that, that's great.
Okay.
Oh, I love it. Oh, yeah. I love it. By the way, bagel bites suck. And we were pizza rolled. Thank you all for being here. We do this show every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, often with this fella, John C. Dvorak, Channel Dvorak.
And I'll be here next week.
Will you?
Yes, I was scheduled
You've
to
already
be
been
here.
Booked. Chad, I asked Chad, I said pre-book because we're always panicking at the Saturday night.
And then they can, we can pack in the audience.
Oh, maybe. Will you bring Pellegrino? We'll have Pellegrino and a roast beef sandwich waiting for
well,
you.
Well.
I promise. Or my name is not Pizza Roll. My name is, what's his name? Gladstone Drake?
Gladstone Gander.
Gladstone Gander. Or my name isn't Gladstone Gander. Harry McCracken writes for Time Magazine. He's also on the web at the Technologizer, technologizer.com, and at Harry McCracken on Twitter. And he's now my Facebook friend.
Finally.
I didn't know you weren't. How did that happen?
I was amazed to see it.
And Dwight Silverman does a great radio show that you have to listen to every Wednesday night on Pacifica Radio in Houston. It's called Technology Bites.
Was and I've been your Facebook friend, Leo.
For a long time. He's been my Facebook friend. You can also catch his work. Now we've got a Gary Johnson ad.
Gary Johnson, 2012. All right.
And Noingo Boingo videos. You can catch his work at the Houston Chronicle blog.com/tech blog. Why does The Verge keep getting there? Is there somebody?
There's somebody like, working for The Verge.
Somebody from The Verge keeps putting Verge
Someone's
stuff
obsessed.
In here. Yeah, no kidding. I love it. I love it. This is just getting better and better. And there is Rick. Hello, Rick. Dwight, it's so great to have you. Thank you for joining us today.
For having me.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Thank you all for watching the show. As I said, 3 p.m. Pacific Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. 2200 UTC on twit.tv, but we make audio and video available after the fact. And you could check out help, I'm in the basement.squarespace.com. By the time you hear this podcast, God only knows what it's going to look like. We can only guess what it's going to look like. But please, no, I'm not responsible, okay? But I think Joshua Topolsky might be. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on This Week in Tech. Bye-bye.
Another twit's not in the can?
Another twit. It's not in the can. It is in the can. It's in the can. It's all...